welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. Now's the time to talk to us. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big Old Brian.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Did you axe up in the hallway
there? Green room.
Oh, it was in the green room. So I walked through a cloud of something. I didn't know what it was. My eyes just started watering.
Your options were me or tag.
Oh, yeah? I'll go tag, although now I feel like as if I've been tagged as well.
Sorry. I'll try to back. I just can't. I have not figured out yet the exact time from running from the gym to here.
All right.
So I get a little nervous.
I'll tell you something that is happening to me, and you guys tell me if it's happening to you.
Small redheaded Italians are stinking up your room?
The second thing that's happening to me is, I don't know if I'm turning into like an old woman or a puss or something. I find myself sensitive to odors, not odors, scents. Like when people, I feel bad talking about it, but Ozzy's wife is my house cleaner, and she wears perfume. Certain Latin cultures don't have a lot of subtlety. Do you know what I mean? Like, you see a guy's house, and the house is painted canary yellow, and it has royal blue trim on it.
You go,
maybe a Latin dude living there.
Possibly,
maybe.
Right?
Possibly. Maybe. If you listen to the music, if you take a look at the way they put together the automobiles and things like that, not a ton of, not subtle.
No.
Not a subtle group. And when it comes to putting the perfume on, they use it pretty liberally. Everything is sort of gone. You know, it's a sort of thing where...
My name is Juan Hernandez.
If a little bit of this perfume smells good, then a lot of it's going to be awesome.
Sure.
Right.
She comes into my house dipped into that stuff. I can tell what room she's in by where it's coming from. But after she makes enough laps around the house, the whole house just smells of her.
Right.
It bothers me. I don't think it would have bothered me when I was in my 20s, but for some reason it bothers me. It irritates me. It sort of physically irritates me a little bit, and then it gets up in my head, too. And the other thing is I got my car back from the car wash the other day, and they put that stupid scent inside of it, and it smelled my... Basically, this one must have been called $5 whore.
I never see that option.
Like for the... at the car wash?
Yeah, it's usually vanilla and pine.
Oh, the $5
vanilla,
whore.
Vanilla is actually named. She's a
$5
whore.
That's her name. Yeah, white chick.
You use candy. Your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Yes, it's like, look, I don't mind a citrusy smell. I don't mind a flowery smell. But there's that weird just, you know when Jack Mehoff comes out here from the Bunny Ranch?
Dennis Hoff.
Dennis Hoff. When Dennis Hoff comes out and he brings his gaggle of beauties and there's your eyes start watering because there's that weird scent that's coming off them. But that's what the inside of my car smells like. And then I thought... Well, what did it smell like before? Like underpants and BO? It's a brand new car. Just sort of smelled like the inside of an Audi.
Don't people even fight for that new car smell?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Not only do I like the new car smell, I don't mind my own smell.
Right.
Like, I like my pillows kind of got me on it.
Right.
I don't want someone spraying down my pillow with cheap whore perfume every night. I kind of like my pillow to be me. And for that same reason, I kind of like that. I like my car to be me.
Sure.
Are we going a little nutty with the spray these days, or have we always been this way?
No, we're going a little nutty. I just had the opportunity to bring this up yesterday, and I think I've mentioned on the show, Charlie Trotter's is a restaurant in Chicago, usually voted the best restaurant in America.
Mm-hmm.
They have a sniffer at the door.
Oh, that could be my gig.
And if you smell of too much or even any cologne or perfume, you're seated in a separate section from those who don't.
I like that. Snooty, but I like it.
Super snooty. Super snooty. The snootiest thing you can do in the great city of Chicago, by the way, is sit at a special table in the kitchen at Charlie Trotter's, but it's like $1 bazillion. They sniff you at the door.
Well, what do they call the section where they put the stinky people?
Well, they don't necessarily stink. The chef, I believe it's the chef, and I think that's Charlie Trotter, takes offense to any odor that overpowers the odor of his meal that he's prepared for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can dig
it. Just rich enough to pull that off.
Right.
I can dig it. And, you know, there's the thing where we're all flipped out over secondhand smoke, and there's a lot of turn that stereo down if your neighbor's playing his music too loud. But to me, the scent is even more invasive in a certain way. Like I was at...
I would agree with that for sure.
I flew into England a few years back, and I was waiting in line, a very long line. You know when you go to the airport, and especially if you're going through customs or something, it's like 15 degrees hotter than it is in the rest of the airports, down in the bowels of the airport. There's way too much humanity in there. It's kind of weird if you go to LAX and you go through customs at LAX. The people that run customs are not born in this country. It seems like this weird ragtag of crazy Asian nationalities. Plus, it's twice as hot as it is upstairs. There's no Cinnabon or anything, and they have these fans set up and going in these kind of makeshift lines, and it really mirrors the country. Maybe it's a way to get people into this country without having such a jolt. Like, your country was a dump that was 20 degrees too hot that had smelly people of questionable nationality standing around all day. We're going to create a little environment down in the basement of our place that's kind of like that. So you just stand there and you look at what the hell, and you're looking at the people that are from parts unknown, but the guy behind the counter at the customs place at LAX, you have no idea where he's from either, and his English isn't so good. It's a slow indoctrination into our culture. But the point is, I was down there in England once, and I stood behind this Rastafarian dude. I mean, one of these, there's guys that have dreadlocks.
Right.
And then there are guys who have a chandelier on their head. You know what I mean?
And also, don't they not wash it?
Yeah.
A real Rasta?
My right nostril says no, they do not wash it. I mean, this guy had a pile of hair on top of his head. He was tall. He was big. I stood behind him in line for an hour and a half, and he reeked to high heaven. So I smelled his horrible, horrible BO for an hour and a half, and I thought, God, it'd be the greatest day of my life if this guy lit up a cigarette right now. At least I could just get a little secondhand smoke instead of the firsthand BO. But should this guy have been pulled out of line? What are you doing to society? And I say to me, because, you know, I'm not, I like to think of myself as even keeled. I just have an offensive meter.
So do I. Yes.
I don't really draw a distinction between seeing a woman's boobs and a man's boobs. I don't really draw a distinction between seeing, you know, something horrible on the news or some gratuitous we're in the OR for so-and-so's plastic surgery. You know, it's just either I look at it and I go, wow, I did not want to see that, or I did not want to smell that, or I go, who cares?
But on the word offended, let me just make I want to get something clear with you. So I understand. Which would bother you if it didn't knock you out? Mm-hmm. Which would bother you worse if you were arguing with a man and he punched you in the face and it hurt? Or if he spit in your face, but it didn't hurt.
We're talking loogie, right?
Yeah, we're talking disrespect.
I hate that. I usually start running when I hear they. That's when I make my move for the door.
I take offense. So I was wondering if we're talking about the same kind of offense.
Rather get punched, but if you asked me right. It's one of those things where I guess it just depends. You get your nose broken, you get your orbital socket broken. I am the kind of guy. I'll tell you this. I've said this many, many times. I think it'll go on my headstone. I would much rather be urinated on than spat on.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I've quite a bit of experience getting urinated on by my goofy buddy, Ray.
I don't care what you die of and what it says on your headstone. I'm coming there and re-carving, I shouldn't have turned left on that friggin' arrow. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dismantle your grave and carve that.
Please.
I think urine is more sterile.
It is.
Something from someone's mouth.
That's all I needed to hear from Dr. Drew about 9 years ago to really kick it into another gear. I was already whizzing in the sink as it was. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I'm just saying, between the guy spraying the crap in the car and Danny in the green room and the prostitutes coming in here, and does it ever score you any real points? You know what I mean? I mean, do you ever smell a chick from 60 paces and go, wow, I want to get with her? She smells good. And if you're going to do that, then smell like something. Smell like brisket.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you really want to wake up whatever visceral, whatever's lodged deep in my reptilian brain, then smell like something. Smell like pizza.
Cinnabon.
But if you smell a woman from 50 feet away, it should be perfume, right? Not just her natural scent.
One would hope.
Okay.
All right. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, Danny has a story about getting a tattoo. Huh. Danny got another tattoo just a few days ago. We kept trying to get to it a couple days back, but we just never found the time. We will do that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci.
Danny drinks booze and then gets tattoos that he's too drunk to choose. Definitely not a Jew.
Bonaducci in studio, ready to tell us the story. He has de-axed himself out in the entry hall, or
took a horse bath in the bathroom,
as Black Tony calls it, ask the body spray. He's back in studio. He's ready to go now. Danny got himself a tattoo. I have no tattoos. Teresa, any tattoos?
No tattoos.
Tattoos a weird thing, which is. I sort of look at it as a lottery. I've never bought a lottery ticket, and I've sort of liked the idea that I've never bought a lottery ticket. And I don't have any problem with tattoos, but now that I've made it to 43 without one, I'm determined to go to the grave without one.
Yeah, same. As well, I think you should.
Couldn't hurt.
I would say more than half of mine are an error in judgment, and at least 10% of them are names of people whom I do not know.
I wonder.
I'm assuming I knew them once.
Yes. I wonder. Well, a lot of them are just the name of the tattoo artist. I
signed their work, and their work was their name.
I wonder. I never thought about this, but a lot of the people that get tattoos are recovering people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that get tattoos are addicted people. So they're either addicted or they're formerly addicted people to something. They have the thrill-seeking, the sort of rush gene. It's the guy who, he's given up the cocaine and now he's doing the base jumping, or he's addicted to gambling, or speed, you
actually
know?
Actually really good of you, because the only real, like, my tattoos, I'm wearing a very short-sleeve shirt, and you can't see that I have any tattoos. I actually have a bunch of them.
Right.
But the only real one I've got that says, hey, this man has a tattoo, is across my back. And I got it when I started hanging out with this particular... What are they called so you don't say AA? Whoops, cat's out of the bag.
12-step program.
Right. Yeah, so I was hanging out with this particular 12-step program of people I kind of dug
because
they were gnarly and nasty and strippers and junkies. And it was like a really, you'd be in a room and a 6-foot stripper covered from tattoos from her neck to her ankles would get up and tell her life story and just go, I've walked into Vonnegut. You know what I mean? I just, it was amazing, but it was a very short period of my life that I found that those people amazing, but I did. And I went out and I got a tattoo while hanging with them that crosses my whole back. It's a really big tattoo.
I've seen it, and I'm asking this question. If there was no pain involved with tattooing, I bet there would be less tattooing, not more tattooing.
Curious.
You don't say that about much, you know, for most events in life, the pain is what gets in the way.
Right.
There'd probably be more plastic surgery, more teeth whitening, more corrective this or that. If it was absolutely painless, well, more people would go to the dentist and have their teeth capped or whatever it was.
Right.
But tattooing is one of the things where I think the pain draws people to it. They like the adrenaline surge or the rush.
Yeah.
It's that crowd. It's almost it's a subsection of that crowd that likes to cut on themselves a little bit. They know.
Really?
Well, what I mean is if you have an addiction, you either have an addiction for substance or you have an addiction for adrenaline.
Right.
But you're the kind of person that needs to know you're alive by being smacked in the face every once in a while. You don't want to know you're alive watching TV or reading a book. You have to jump off of something that scares the bejesus out of you to know you're alive. And the tattoo is the sort of know you're alive endeavor that takes place in a mall or on a street corner, but it's a definite endorphin rush, and a lot of the people that get tattoos get addicted to the pain of the tattoo, even though they say they don't like the pain. I believe if you made it completely painless, I don't think more people would get it.
I didn't mean to sit here and smirk at you, but when you said something a little while ago, I said I was just talking about that last night. I was just talking about that last night.
Oh, you were?
Yes. That I said, I hate to borrow from Nine Inch Nails and Johnny Cash, but I hurt myself just today just to see if I'm alive.
Yeah.
But we're talking about all my scars. And I said, there are vast portions of my life that I don't remember doing certain things. I said, I remember exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing, and exactly what led up to every plate in my body, every metal screw. I know everyone. And I said, sometimes you wonder if you're actually getting hurt just to know you can feel something. That's just last night, girl. Either stop bugging my house or stop being so goddamn
clever. Well, I would also submit that because, you know, unfortunately your dad was very violent, that love and pain are all wrapped up in a way they shouldn't be.
Well, I'm sure there's a connection there, but before we plumb those depths, I want to go back to the tattoo world. Danny got a tattoo, I believe it was last weekend, yes?
Yeah. What happened was, this actually started with Bagels for Bonaducci, or Bagels from Bonaducci, or Bonaducci's Bagels for the Beckhams.
Right.
God, that's a lot of alliteration going on. Remember the tattoo artist was in studio? Yeah. It actually starts before that, when I first heard we were going to have a tattoo artist in the studio. And I told Teresa I would get her name tattooed on me. I said, doesn't bother me. I'll be happy to do it.
We had a chick in here who was going to get my name tattooed on her.
I think you did the right thing.
What Teresa basically threw a wet blanket over the proceedings by finding out the chick was on psychotropic medication and had been institutionalized. Turns out she was nuts.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes from nutty broad having doing a crazy radio stunt to sick person acting out.
And also, I mean, if you're in charge or she's in charge of somebody, it's also some kind of mutilation. If she's not aware of what she's not in control of
it. It opens us up to a liability, plus it's slightly unethical. But she's not crazy, according to the three-page letter she wrote me on MySpace.
Oh, okay.
So that tattoo artist was in here to tattoo Adam's signature on her.
So I happened to mention that I would get your name tattooed on my arm, and you seemed all touched. I'm happy to do that. I
was.
Well, I went home, and Amy, who loves you, and prefaced this with, God, I really love Teresa, but you're not getting any bitch's name tattooed on your arm while you're seeing me.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I want you to know, she started with, I love you. So I said, okay, it's not like a thing with me. I don't care. And she looked like she cared and seemed hurt. And then I delivered the bagels to the Beckhams. And last thing I said on the radio was, tell that tattoo artist not to leave.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right.
I want to get a tattoo.
Right.
So after work, I went home and she's beaming. Amy's beaming. And I can't figure it out at all, though she's a bit of a beamer.
She's prone to beaming?
Yeah, she's a little bit of a beamer. And she, I finally figured out she thinks that I made it here in time to get the tattoo, and it's her that I got her name tattooed on me.
Here's the way I would break it down. I would say 70% of women would be flattered if their man got a tattoo, and then 25 out of the next 30 that said they wouldn't like it would secretly be flattered.
Right.
Pushing the grand total up to about 95%.
Mm-hmm.
They're the chicks who would say, oh, no, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't like that. They're lying.
Yes,
there's,
I know.
There's a very small percentage of women who, just for religious reasons or just for whatever reasons, truly wouldn't like it. The other 30% would say, oh, I don't like it, but they would secretly be incredibly flattered. And then there's just a 70% of honest women who go, hell yes, that would be cool.
Yeah, well, that's what Amy falls into. It would be so cool. I mean, flat out, I mean, take all the mystery out. When I showed up and did not have her name on me or anything else because the tattoo artists were gone, I said, would you really like that? I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just thinking of the tattoo. I knew that nobody got a tattoo and the Gunners were here. And I thought, what the hell? I'll get one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get the Adam Carolla one. I'll get the free FM logo. Whatever, you know, let's pay off the tattoo artist.
Right.
So I didn't make it. And she was crushed. And I said, what, do you really want your name on me? And no hesitation, no shame. Yes, I want my name stamped right on you. Yes, yeah. I do.
That's right. That's everyone.
The thing's nice about Amy's, you jump right to the top of the bitches Danny slept with list tattoo that's on him.
Yeah.
You leapfrog over April and Patrice, you know what I mean? You're right at the top.
You're at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
So we're in Atlanta the other day doing this comedy thing, and I do like a presentation on a screen, and somebody's got to run it. So somebody has to know how to do it and drive with me. We taught Amy. Gretchen taught Amy.
Wow.
And there's clips of my children and my wife in the show.
Not since Gallagher teaching his brother Zach.
So the handing of the torch was horrifying and weird. Pictures of me as a kid, pictures of her as a kid. So anyway, we're there and we go to this bohemian part of Atlanta. Atlanta rocks, by the way. Have you ever been there?
It's been a while.
What a great city. So they tell me, go to this place in Little Five Points. You'll like it. And it's this real bohemian Venice Beach-ish, Melrose-ish place. So we go, and we sit down for lunch, and I can see the T and maybe the A, and I can't, but the neon tells me that's a tattoo parlor, and she can't see it from where she is. I said, you know what? I'll be right back. I'm going to go get some cigarettes, but go ahead and order. Well, even a little tattoo takes a long time. So, but I go, and I do it. I said, how fast can you get Amy? Right across my right shoulder. By the way, if you go to MySpace, so that's the default picture right now. Amy did that. I don't know how to do that. She's like all into this. So I come back after about an hour, and she starts screaming at me. Now, she has a reason, if you'll remember Maui.
Right.
The last time we traveled together, I fell off a wagon and told her that I hated her and that her mom had some suspicious attitudes toward me or something. So she left me on Maui. Now I disappear in Georgia for an hour, and she's freaking and starts screaming. And my plan is to surprise her. It's a small tattoo on my shoulder. It may take a couple of days for
her to notice. I would say, by the way, give me another gander at that. Just eyeball. The letters are 5/8 of an inch high or so, and the thing measures about an inch and 3/4 right to left. It's sort of, it's a stocky tattoo. It's not long, but it's fairly beefy and prevalent.
Well, they take a really long time. Like, just this sun, this big sun on my shoulder, that was 4.5 hours. Tattoos are forever.
With the old school anchor in the middle of it. I like that.
I do, too. And I like the Amy. It's in a nice cursive font. Who wouldn't love that?
Well, actually, I was going to try and figure out between the spaces of the sun.
That's who wouldn't love
it. An X right through this one. Actually, Amy is such a good girlfriend. After she was done yelling at me, because I got really mad that I had done this, and she was yelling at me in a restaurant. I ripped my shirt off, and it was a button down, so I ripped all the buttons off when I did it. And I went, I ripped it off. There's a bandage because they're open cuts at first.
Right. So I'm sorry. So you go to the tattoo. Now it's taking a little while to get the tat put on.
Well, they make a stencil, and then they put that on your arm and they say, "Are you happy with that?" And look in the mirror. Then they follow that stencil. And yeah, it takes. I guess I was gone an hour, and it was only 100 feet down the street.
Right. So she thought you're going to get a pack of smokes. You're gone for an hour.
She's worried drugs at this point.
Yeah.
Rightly so, because remember Maui. That's how we keep our lives.
Smokes don't take an hour to get. Had you ordered lunch? Had you already eaten? Where were you in this meal?
No, they're ordered. In. She sat down. I said, I need cigarettes. Go ahead and order. Because I had seen it.
Because when I get hungry, I'm very cranky.
Yeah.
Now, she was ordering for him.
She laughs when I say this, but she made me promise not to say it on the radio. Too late. When Amy gets hungry, my now quote is, throw a steak in front of that bitch and she forgets it's all about me.
That's romantic.
I know.
You should get that tattoo.
Chivalry never dies. Hey, Darren.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good. You got a tattoo, or your girlie's got a tattoo of another guy's name on her?
Yeah, it was her best friend from years back, and this guy put his name on her, her name on his arm, and, you know, obviously I was really upset about it, so I, you know, went to her, and I was going to kick this guy's ass, but, you know, she denied any part in it, and I went and talked to him, and he said she promoted it. She was, like, totally into it. She talked about what the tattoo should look like, what color.
Well, best friend or old boyfriend?
No, not old boyfriend. They'd never done it before.
My ass. And they did it there, too.
That's thinking, Danny's
ass or the tattoo parlor.
What do we got?
Hey, yeah. I mean, look. Here's the thing. If your girlfriend is the kind of what is the relationship now? Her and the guy with the name on the tat.
Well, we broke up, and he and I are best friends now, and neither of us talk to her.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And he still has never admitted to sleeping with her.
Yeah, never. But you know what? I mean, call me naive, but I actually believe it.
No, listen. Yeah, it happens. Maybe. The girls would have friends. Lord knows I was friends to many girls and never got in their pants. So if I could do it, I'm sure there's plenty of other saps out there.
I just realized how totally I believe this guy. I have men's names tattooed on me.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson.
I have Craig Ferguson on me. I have Larry Wirt.
You were going to get my name.
I was going to get your name. I don't take. I didn't love the reference to I'm kind of the same kind of group that cuts themselves. But on the other hand, I have absolutely no respect for my body.
Well, I also think you can be very impetuous and you like a little drama.
I do. Oh, I love a little drama. So that's when, speaking of drama, so she's yelling at me when I just, because they hurt a little bit, these tattoos, and it was a big surprise.
You come back to lunch an hour later. She's sitting there. Your phone's getting cold.
Yelling. I mean, being like a bitch.
You ordered the cigarette sandwich with the nicotine shake.
Actually, I had the Axe spray. You know, I'm trying to lose some weight, so I just had the spray on.
With a dusting of Axe spray on mixed greens.
So, and she starts yelling at me about where were you and blah, blah, blah. And now in Maui, she was right. I was being a jerk. Here, I was being romantic, and it had the reverse effect. I was not apologizing. I was so finally, I rip off my shirt, which, like I said, was a button-down. So all the buttons go flying, and now I'm stuck like that, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to hang open like white trash. So I rip off my shirt, and I've got a big bandage on my shoulder, and I rip it off, and it says, Amy. And I go, there! Are you happy now? And she says, yeah. Like, in heaven. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, I'm going to change it to is a whore.
No, you didn't.
That's what I said, yeah. And she said, no, no, no. But I'm a school teacher. I can help you out here. A-M-Y. If we break up, you can change it to infamy.
It's good.
Uh-huh. I'd have never figured that out. Dyslexic boy, I'd have been there all night.
Really? Is that how you spell infamy?
It ends in A-M-Y, yeah.
Oh, it ends, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Going no, there's other letters. There's other letters.
Let me, I thought you had to start it with whatever. You're right. You know, I just thought of something surreal. Danny, you were married, and technically still are, but unaware you were getting divorced, what, 3 months ago?
Yeah.
What if you just woke up and you had erased everything that you'd known in the last 2.5 or 3 months, and you just spotted Amy, the tattoo on your right shoulder in the mirror. Wouldn't it be bizarre? Like, wouldn't you be thinking, like, what if I'd pulled you aside somewhere in the beginning of May or the middle of April and said, hey, Danny. And you went, yeah. And I said, you're married to Gretchen, right? And you said, mm-hmm. And I said, how do you think it's going? And you went, meh. 17 years. I don't see why we're not making it to 20. And I said, let me tell you something. 9 weeks from now, you're going to have another chick's name tattooed on your arm that you will be with.
I would have been like,
are you high? That's impossible. I play that game with yourself every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, sometimes it works for good, sometimes it works for bad. Sometimes I was walking in the airport and Alec Baldwin yelled my name and gestured for me to come over and told me what a huge fan he is. And I said, when I was swinging a hammer watching his movies and you would have shown me that scenario on a videotape, I wouldn't have known what to make of it. I would have assumed that I thwarted a terrorist plot and made national news. Like,
is that what you're guessing?
Yeah, I would assume that I was on my way to a construction site and saw a bunch of swarthy guys hanging out in a van, and I wanted to go bum a cigarette. And when I tapped on it, they freaked out and ran, and the van crashed, and I somehow got credit for it. Like, that's what I would have assumed.
When the bell rang and I stepped into the middle of the ring and was about to punch Donny Osmond in the face.
Right.
I thought, this is the weirdest thing. If you'd ever told me ever, one day you're going to be a ring in front of thousands of people beating the crap out of Puppy Love Guy.
Yeah.
I'd have just said, what? Are you high? But the problem is,
he shared the same experience,
yes,
by the way.
Just so you know, that one of the reasons I am getting a divorce is something you totally said.
Hmm.
Well, my wife interrupted me in the middle of April. She didn't like it. Matter of fact, both of them got mad.
I could see that.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
I can't be the only guy that's done this, though. Just a spur of the moment, I like you or whatever.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your tattoo regret stories.
Yeah.
Even your love regret stories. I'm sure guys have done not quite the Van Gogh cut your ear off, although if you pop it's on the phone, I ain't cutting you off. I'm just talking about guys have punched holes in things and broke their hands. Guys have destroyed their own property. Guys have destroyed other people's property. Guys have gotten the tattoos. Girls have done nutty things. Not because you're angry, but to prove it. What have you done to prove it? They accused you of cheating. You didn't cheat. You took a kitchen knife and put it into your forearm and screamed, that's how serious I am about this relationship, or whatever it is. I just want to know, what have you done to prove it? What have you done that you regret, tattoos and otherwise? Next, 866-901-ADAM. Talk to you next.
For the preview of this morning's show, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Check it, peeps! Today we got the creator of Minority Team, and I'm with Goosey, Adam De La Pena. Tony the Black Guy's gonna talk to some Harry Potter fans. We also got Rich Man Poor Man, Adam's buddy Ray, and we'll audition and another potential phone screener. Hey, they tell me the broad today's got quadruple F's. Tell you what, Jack managed like to quadruple F her in the back office. The back office, of course, being a euphemism for the butt.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, we decided to do a little bit called reenactments. My buddy Ray, who mentioned to me last night, he had no less than 40 stories penned that he'd remembered from our childhood. I've known him since the fifth grade, and Ray is nuts. And I did a lot of nutty things with him, so we thought we'd relive those. That's coming up. Also,
I think that'll be interesting. That guy won me over. I told you this the other day, but I can't say enough. That guy won me over, and nobody wins me over.
I would like to know, out of those 40, how many involve numbers 1 and 2?
Fair amount of urinating on each other. And? You know, people find it homoerotic and bizarre. I understand them. Yeah. I tell people quite simply, here's how my friends were. If we spoke about this earlier, my friends were hardcore. The way Ray was is if you flicked a raisin at Ray in high school, if you had a little raisin and you flicked one at Ray, Ray would reach over to the student to his right, who he did not know. He would pick up that person's lunch tray and whatever was on it, the pudding and the fruit compote and whatever's left of the burrito, and he would toss the entire tray in your general direction.
Yeah.
Now, some of it would hit you, and some of it would hit the people around you.
It's called collateral cafeteria damage.
That's right. That's right. It is not a surgical strike. Everyone got hit.
It wasn't a smart bomb, no.
The person to Ray's right, who he took the tray out of, is out of their lunch.
Right.
Ray knows none of the people involved except for me and doesn't care. That's basically the way Ray would work it. So I would just tell people all the time, if getting spat on is a 4.5, well, then getting whizzed on is an 8, and getting Duke chucked at you is a 10.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's just the way they did it.
I'm with you.
That's how Ray shows his love.
They were looking for the 10s, not the 3.5s. All right, now, we were talking earlier about tattoos, regrettable tattoos, and then it just sort of spilled over into, what have you done for love?
By the way, this is not brought to you in any way, shape, or form by Dr. Tadoff, but I just thought of that. He is a client. Hey, these things can come off you.
That's right.
Throw that in you.
Let him hit you with the laser, Tommy.
See, I just thought I'd throw that in you. That's what gets me in trouble.
Tommy?
Yeah, how you doing, Adam?
I like this one. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us what you did.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
About a month ago or so, my fiance and I, we've been together 12 years, and I bought her engagement ring a few years back, and we just never got around to setting a date yet. We just finished our house. Anyway, we've had a few battle royales in the past, nothing physical, but definitely verbally vicious. This one got pretty good, and long story short, she kind of throws the engagement ring, which wasn't in a box, it was in a velvet bag, that's how I presented it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she throws it on the table.
I present everything to my wife in a velvet bag, too. Hey, we got a little velvet bag clearinghouse sale going on, baby. On Tuesday? Yes! Sorry.
I still got a velvet bag of my own, but anyway, she throws it on the table and says, well, here, then you can have this back. And I said, well, is that what our relationship is? So I take the bag, flush it down the toilet.
Oh, no.
I came out of the bathroom, and she looked stunned. I mean, she just, hey, don't trump me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no, listen, it was like that scene from Titanic. Well, except for instead of the old lady throwing the jewel off the back of the exploration boat, you flushed $800 worth of cubic zirconia down a toilet. But otherwise, the exact same scene.
How much did you spend on that ring, Tommy?
It wasn't much, actually. We were was at a gun show in Reno and didn't find anything.
Oh,
we
never want to hear yourself say that.
It's okay. It's all good.
How much did you
found it at a pawn shop, and that's exactly what it did.
Never want to hear yourself say that.
How much was it?
It was $800, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
And, it was a real
diamond.
How'd
you know that? Did you just say that?
Much. Yes.
And very, very modest. She was more concerned about building the house and spending money on frivolous stuff.
How much did you spend on the gun?
He didn't buy the gun. That's why he bought that.
Wow.
And she knew I had money in my pocket, so she just kept bothering me.
All right, hold on a second. First off, Mr. Romantic over here. I was at a gun show in Reno, and I couldn't find anything I liked. So I went over to a pawn shop, dropped $800 and got you this. I think the chick who had it before died. or was strung out on heroin. Either way,
still in it.
Enjoy. And look, there's an inscription inside that says something about Rob. Don't worry about that. Obviously, I'm Troy.
Right.
We can modify that later.
Make it an anagram or something.
Yeah, maybe we'll melt it down and make a filling out of it. Either way, here you go, sweetie. Don't choke on it. Now I'm going back to the gun show.
Yeah, that's the way I would have been proposed to.
And they were together for 12 years before they got engaged or something
flushed
like that.
Flushed it down the toilet. All right. Jimmy on line 5 has an interesting story. Jimmy?
Yeah.
What's happening, my brother?
Not much.
Okay.
What do you got for us?
My wife, she's got Property of Jimmy tattooed on her butt.
Mm. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, that's an old biker thing.
Yeah, I like the Property of. Yeah. Huh? It's it means you've arrived.
Yeah.
It really does. When you have that stamp that says Property of fill in the blank biker guy on your ass, it means you've arrived. And well, do you like that, Jimmy?
Yeah, man, because I'll tell you what. I mean, she's pretty hot. I mean, you know, like, what would you do if you were cheating or something and you picked up the lady and you got her clothes off and you looked on her butt and you saw a big old tattoo, Property of? What would you do?
I'd have sex with her immediately.
Yeah, I put my beer on it just to hide it.
Put the ashtray on it.
It's also got our club logo below it, so you might.
Oh, yeah, that's trouble.
Okay, now you're talking.
Well, were you there when she got it?
Yeah, I was there, sure.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing. Like, last-ditch preventative measures, I'm trying to think. Like, to me, Confederate flag.
That's a gimme.
Pick a name a little rougher than Jimmy, you know, Big Earl or something
Knuckles.
Like that. Yeah, I'd have to think twice if I was going to go where Big Earl had gone, and I wouldn't want Big Earl looking for me.
Do you know the only ones that bothered me? Mm-hmm. The only ones that ever bothered me, because I'm ashamed to say this. Because I probably should be on the radio, but not really. I've slept with people who are married before and don't mm-hmm. feel too bad about it. They shouldn't have done it either.
Right.
But the only time I was ever afraid ever is when they would say something the effect of, well, blah, 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 my boyfriend gets out of jail in January. That mm-hmm. always scared me because mm-hmm. I stand out in some pretty bad neighborhoods. That one, and my boyfriend will be out of the Marines in June.
Right.
Those two always, I don't know why. Just, they're going to come get me. Like, other guys won't come get you, but a guy getting out of jail or a guy getting out of the Marines would. That would scare me more than the Property of.
Yeah. And ironically, those guys probably get cheated on the most. The Marines.
Yeah, they're gone.
Especially in the jails. Because at least you know exactly where the guy is. And it's not like he comes home from work at 5 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock. We better get busy. He's not going to be around until March of 2029.
That's what I don't like about this job, though. Our wives totally know where we are exactly.
I
think we should do is I think we should just stay here one day after the show and fake a show and then all go and kick in our own front doors and see if the pool man's there.
Danny, I don't want to freak you out, but this is that show.
Adam, this is radio.
You're not here.
Okay, I've taken a lot of drugs.
You're standing in front of your
Amy's door
right now. Do you understand me?
Don't get all existential in your mouth. I'll implode right in front of you, bastard.
Go, I'm telling you.
You can talk me into this.
Teresa's a hologram. Go punch right in her head. I swear to God, your hand will go. You'll go right through. She's not there.
Come at me.
Come at her. As a matter of fact, don't bother punching. Take that folding chair and swing it right where you see her aura.
Yes.
Where you think you see Therese. I guarantee it'll be like that movie Ghost. It'll pass right through her.
This is 9 o'clock last night.
That's the only way you're going to know.
Free nose job for me if you hit me right.
That's what that transvestite.
All right, let's see. Let's talk to
us. Really bizarre for just a minute. That was really weird for me.
I don't mind getting surreal. James?
Adam.
What's happening, James?
Not much. Love the show. Love Danny. I love all you guys.
Thanks, man.
You guys had your own thing. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I put my head through a wall. I was in the middle of an argument, and turns out she confessed that she'd been doing speed the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I spun around. We were fighting, and it didn't get physical, but mm-hmm. you get that edge where you wanted to get physical.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was like, you want to hurt me? You want to hurt me? And I turned around. I didn't realize I was actually going to do this because I thought it was going to be a hard piece of drywall. And but the wall was very old, and I swung and hit my head against the wall. I literally buried myself up to my shoulders all the way into the wall.
Yeah, the thing about guys is there's three guys, and they don't talk about the middle guy. They only talk about the first guy and the third guy. They talk about the first guy who would never lay a hand on a woman.
Right.
Then they talk about the third guy who has no problem smacking a woman around. They never talk about the middle guy who won't hit a woman, but he'll hit a wall, a lamp, or he'll put his head through something. That's the dude
That's
who goes, I
middle
want
guy.
To hit you. I'm not going to hit you. I will hit that wall instead. No, it's not every guy. There are guys that just will not raise their hands That's and make true. A fist at yeah. any for any
for
reason.
Any, yeah.
Right. And most of the guys won't hit a woman. So the lion's share of the guys, you have the top 20% who'll never lay a hand on, who you have the, I should say, bottom 20% who have no problem hitting a woman.
Right.
You have the top 20% who will never make a fist and never hit anything, wall, woman, or anything,
man.
And then you have the middle 60% who, if you get whipped up enough, will break their hand punching through a wall because they're just unlucky enough to catch that stud.
Stud.
16 on center,
everybody. I wish I'd have known you then. God.
Now, 16 on center means with an inch and a half wide stud, you have a 14.5-inch bay.
Right.
For which to catch air.
And those odds are pretty good.
It seems good, yes.
When you're in the heat of the moment, you don't tap the wall.
No, that's why I get my little stud finder out. Okay, here we go. Then I have Ozzy come with a utility knife and sort of score it. I call it scoring it just to loosen it up. And a couple hours later, I continue the argument and I punch right for the orange circle that Ozzy's marked on the wall.
I'm angry here.
Yeah, with the pylons and the cones. T.
I am going to tell you what the latest is with Lindsay Lohan. Her dad was reaching out last night. You know, the way most dads do through the entertainment media.
Sure.
You listen to some of that. And also, how do you impregnate a rhino?
You got to wait till it falls asleep. At least that's what I've found.
You got to dart him first.
Yep. And then dart him again. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Also, I have some very curious tape I got from CNN this morning involving Al-Qaeda and airports that I want to play for you. It sort of outraged me and then made me ask 1,000 questions at once, and hopefully we all can shed some light on this, although I have my doubts. We'll do that next on the news.
Hey, drinkers, prices are going up, and you may be interested to find out why.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I swear to Christ, twice a week on CNN, they have a story where it's like, $4 for a cup of coffee at Starbucks. $4 for coffee. Yes, we're over it, everybody. Here's the thing. There's a place called Starbucks. There's a place called Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. There's a place called Pete's. There's a place called Seattle's Best. In those places, coffee is expensive. Some of us choose to go there. Some of us choose to go to McDonald's and spend 80 cents for a cup of coffee. We get it. It's been 10 years. Let's move on. Do I have to explain how this works for other things? There's jewelry stores that are in Beverly Hills, and there's pawn shops that are in Lancaster. The pawn shops are in Lancaster have a cheaper engagement ring. The ones that are in Beverly Hills are more expensive. There's Barney's of New York, and then there's the Sears in North Hollywood. You can go get a sweater at Sears. It's cheaper. You see, you go there, or are we just going to keep doing those stories? $1,100 for a sweater? Yes, it's $4 for a cup of coffee. That is not a king's ransom to everyone.
Now, did they combine this story? See, when I was watching it last night,
he spilled the coffee on $1,100? Oh, that's what they should do. The guy who bought the $1,100 sweater at Barney's in New York then went to Pete's and bought a $4 cup of coffee and dumped it on it.
The one I saw that was the combination with, we have raised the minimum wage for the first time in something like a decade, to $7.25, a decent jump from like 5.25 to 7.25.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next story was Starbucks has raised its price to more than the minimum wage for one of their fanciest coffees.
Right.
Yeah, yes. That's the way they combine
it. Never get over it. And look, I'd call it news, too, if Starbucks wasn't around since 1986 and people weren't buying the bejesus out of that coffee. Then maybe there's a story. But there's a line, and evidently people want to spend $4 on a cup of coffee. So be it. Not news. T.
Yes.
What is the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Lindsay Lohan was arrested on suspicion of drunk driving and cocaine possession early yesterday morning after getting into a car chase with the mother of an assistant who just quit working for Lohan.
Oh, I didn't know all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't hear much about it unless you turn on your television.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lindsay Lohan actually got in touch with the media through Access Hollywood host Billy Bush. According to the show's website last night, she sent Billy Bush an email.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what she said. Quote, I am innocent. Did not do drugs. They're not mine. I was almost hit by my assistant, Taryn's mom. I appreciate everyone giving me my privacy. Those drugs weren't hers. Taryn. T-A-R-I-N.
Oh, because
I was holding for a friend.
Jimmy does Taryn's catheter, the world's greatest prank puppet assistant. Damn, would have been nice if her name was Taryn.
Yeah, T-A-R-I-N. So she's saying
okay,
cocaine
in
her pocket.
Okay, hold on. I'm already angry about the Taryn part because these are these nimrods who name their kids the name. This is, by the way, this is the white version of the annoying name. We all know about the Chautauqua and stuff like that and all that stuff where no one can pronounce your kid's goddamn name and your kid has to constantly correct every school teacher and every person they work with for the rest of their life. If you're named Taryn, what percentage of people that you introduce yourself to say, oh, Karen? And then you have to correct them and say, no, Taryn.
Right. Sounds like Karen.
98% of people you're going to meet will say, oh, nice to meet you, Taryn. And then you'll have to correct them. Look, give your kid a crazy name. Knock yourself out. But don't name it almost exactly what the other thing is. I was just thinking of car, which is like if I drove a Lexus, people would go, oh, you got a nice Lexus? No. It's a Lexus.
Right. And
it'd be constant confusion. And yes, I could be then indignant when they pick the super high percentage name choice instead of the goofy, retarded, angry name
choice. But it'd be kind of cool, though. Like if you bought a Ferrari.
$18,000
or something like that.
People's like, drive for free. That guy may have a twang and he may work at Jack in the Box, but he drives a hell of a car.
Yeah, that guy's got a Ferrari.
My Rolls Royce was very affordable. All right, Lindsay Lohan's dad, Michael Lohan, wasted no time reaching out to his daughter by going to every media outlet that would listen. There he is reaching out on Access Hollywood.
Dad, I love her. I've always loved her. I never wanted anything from her but to be her father. And I just want her to just get it. Just get it, honey, please. I can't take this anymore, and neither can anyone else. And I'm just tired of all this. You know, you need your parents, and that's all that's important. Just let me reach out to you and be there for you like I was all my life, and you know that.
Sure. When he wasn't in the joint, he was there. I mean, it wasn't the, you know, 3 or 4 years he was in the joint when she was between 15 and 19. You know, he was there.
He was there.
Listen.
Well, there was visiting days. Where the hell was she?
Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't there.
Yeah, you weren't there for me, bitch.
She left him on the other side of that cold Lexan glass, staring at nothing.
Didn't you see Midnight Express? You could have helped your dad out.
Could have been there for him. You were never there for him.
Well, you know, he has been down the road of addiction, and he has a few things to say about how to get sober.
You news people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They said that to me on every show in the world yesterday. Yeah. Now let's talk to someone who's been down the road of addiction.
Yeah.
You news folks.
He's been down the rocky road of addiction, and he knows a thing or two about how to get sober. Here he chats with Lisa Bloom from Court TV.
How do you get Lindsay on that path, on the path to sobriety?
By speaking to me, by speaking to her father, by letting me share my experience and how God turned my life around with her so that she can do the same. But it's certainly not a 30-day program or some tune-up facility that's going to do it.
Do you think that's what she's been in the rehab program
Absolutely. I've been there before. I went to Betty Ford. I make no bones about it.
Yeah.
But it was a tune-up facility.
And she's back in rehab today?
From what I understand, she went back to Promises. And then now I don't know if she's at Promises. There is a report that she went to Betty Ford. But obviously, whatever they did there didn't work.
What would work is talking to him.
Sure.
He's reaching out. Is a guy giving the exact location of his daughter's rehab.
Yeah, you know what? I hadn't even thought about that.
He just seems like the world's worst dad.
Yeah, he does.
He really does.
He really does.
I'm reaching out to you, sweetie. Heart and hand. Wallet open. I mean, arms open. Yeah, he just wants to cash in on her.
No, he does. Absolutely.
And look, let me quote Teresa Strasser's grandfather when I say you can't unring a bell.
Yeah.
When you screw with your daughter screws with you. This is the way it works. He ain't going to be able to get back. He needs to build a time machine. That's what he needs to work on. Forget about talking to whoever on CNN.
Yeah, because that man's
going to work on a time machine.
And if anybody's ever going to complete the building of the time machine that H.G. Wells started, it's that guy.
He needs it because once you take your little girlie and you screw her up, she then has another 10 to 30 years of acting out. And then she may be ready to confront you somewhere in her 50s if you're still alive. The more you know.
Yep. The more
Thank you.
Know. Now, some news people.
Here's the other one other thought on this. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I thought, well, her last movie, Georgia Rule, was a flop.
Mm-hmm.
And by all critics, according to the critics, sucked. Her movie before that, I guess it was A Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah,
that movie.
Right.
Flopped. And I know it seems like I'm a broken record here, but I keep thinking to myself, if you're doing a bunch of movies that keep flopping, then why are you a huge bankable star? I'm actually thinking the opposite. I'm thinking this person has made four movies that flopped in a row. Why shouldn't the fifth one flop? I'd rather go with an unknown. And then I think, and now on top of all this publicity, who the hell would ever want to work with her? But then I keep realizing publicity is now publicity.
Right.
Right.
People will hire Lindsay Lohan to be in their movie, even if her movies flop and even if she's on drugs, just because the news agencies will pick up on it and your movie name will be mentioned 1,000 times, even if it's not in a positive context.
There is one actual problem with that I am well aware of, and so is Mr. Robert Downey Jr., and that is insurance.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Robert had to pay, post his own bond for the entire cost of the film, and did.
Yeah.
But it was after season one of Breaking Bonaducci, the insurance company that insured that show called up after the second episode and said, don't call us if there's a season two. And we had to go everywhere to get me insured.
Mm-hmm. Danny's right. All Hollywood productions need insurance.
Yeah.
And this is probably going to be difficult for Lindsay Lohan for at least the next 18 months.
Yeah.
And by the way, what you said is true because every news agency is saying Lohan's latest film, I Know Who Killed Me, is set to open Friday.
Uh-huh.
Because now she's constantly in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And some news people take umbrage at having to report on this story wall-to-wall, ad nauseum. Here is a hilarious clip of a CNN anchor named Jack Cafferty. He does a show called The Cafferty File.
Mm.
And he's not so subtly attempting to not do the Lindsay Lohan story. Here he is on The Cafferty File.
I wonder if we can get the Lindsay Lohan DUI arrest out of the teleprompter and put my script in it. Is that possible? Here's some. Apparently it's not.
I like that. I liked it when the chick on CNN a month ago didn't want to talk about Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
I like it. This is what it's going to take, everybody.
Yeah.
Go sick.
Plus,
I love it.
It's fun when they break the fourth wall and you hear them talking to the prompter guy. And
yeah.
Enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've probably already heard the details of this arrest, but yesterday when we started talking about it, this part of the story had not come out. There was it was evident that there had been a car chase, but it wasn't clear that they had stopped in the parking lot of the Santa Monica Civic Center.
Oh.
And that's where the police came.
Which, by the way, is almost attached to the police department, the Santa Monica Police Department.
Right.
I'm
right.
Arrested there. It's almost in the same building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very convenient. Yeah.
Apparently it's very close. And now, on to another very important story about inseminating a rhino.
Mm-hmm.
This out of Cincinnati.
Where else?
At the Cincinnati Zoo, a 6,000-pound, 6-foot-tall, 12-foot-long Indian rhino named Nikki just got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors at the zoo were able to artificially inseminate her, making her the first ever Indian rhino to get artificially impregnated.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how they did it.
Mm.
Now, first, they had to
get 6,000 pounds.
6,000-pound rhino.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, an SUV is 6,000 right. pounds. Huh. Not a mini, but a regular full-size pickup truck
right.
is 6,000 pounds. That's a lot heavy. Of animal.
Yeah. Imagine.
Well, Brian, look yeah. that up, because I know like an Escalade is probably more than 6,000 pounds, but I'm trying to say if like a Ford F-150 or a Denali or something like that is 6,000 pounds. Keep going.
Now, zookeepers have this enormous...
Oh, hold on. Yes. You don't have an answer.
Cadillac Escalade of 2005 is 6,800 pounds.
Ah.
So like 800 more pounds than a Rhino.
And that's
Escalade.
The Caddy yeah. Escalade. That
that's
is,
one that's 50 cents driving.
Right.
That's the biggest boat of the SUVs. They're all smaller than that one. So there's plenty of 4,500 pound SUVs too. This right. would be a bigger SUV, this Rhino.
Now you've got a Rhino.
Jesus Christ, Brian, it took you all of 4 seconds to find that.
That's amazing.
They range between 5,800 pounds and 60, whatever I said before. 60.
Oh, really?
6,800
and 5,900. Oh. So you're about
depending
right.
on how much jewelry the black guy's wearing. All right, sorry. That would be great. I would love to go to the auto show. And as you see to my right, the Cadillac Escalade. That comes with the Vortex, 350 horsepower, 400 cubic inch V8. You see the 22-inch rims. The dry weight of the Cadillac varies from 5,600 pounds to 6,800 pounds,
what's
depending. Well, it depends on how much jewelry the huge black man is rocking. Cadillac, a symbol of excellence for over 100 years. All right, sorry, go ahead.
No, you've got an Escalade-sized Rhino, and you need to get its seed. How are you going to do that? I mean, this is a very difficult proposition.
I say you use a monkey.
Oh.
To me, I use other animals in the kingdom to do my bidding. I'm like Aquaman on the earth.
Right.
Dry Aquaman.
So you get the
Terra Firma Man!
You get the monkey.
Land man.
I get the shoulder glove.
I get the monkey to go in there, sneak up on the thing, and do the thing. Yeah.
Well, they used a cattle prod on the rhino genital, which makes it release.
It does?
Yes.
Oh, dude, I'm going to borrow my dog collar, that one that shocks them when they pee on the carpet.
Please be careful. They then built a 6-foot tube that could reach Nikki, the rhino's uterus, because as one of her doctors said, quote, you can't just go out and buy a rhino probe and have it work. So they built it. 6-foot rhino tube. Mm-hmm. And they positioned it inside of the rhino, and they were able to inseminate her.
I don't want to call the doctor a liar, but I'll bet you Kimmel could go to Costco and find one.
Rhino tube?
Probe. Yes.
Yeah.
He gets everything from Costco, and he tells me if it's not on the floor, you can get it online.
So if you don't see it there, they could still have
it. As a matter of fact, I think I've seen them at Kimmel's house.
You wondered what they were.
I said, what the hell is that? Some kind of 6-foot bong? I said, no, that's my rhino probe.
Right.
That's how I harvest eggs.
Well, it's important.
I think it's Corey Feldman.
Send him up.
Yeah. About 6 foot.
Here's the two things you need when it comes to approaching rhinos to harvest eggs: small and expendable.
Right.
If something happens, no big loss.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll be fine. Society will continue.
You might wonder why all this trouble to inseminate Nikki, the rhino, who's due at the end of December. They won't say the sex of the baby, but it'll be about 110 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Rhinos are hard to breed naturally because they get aggressive and end up fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only about 2,000 left in the world.
Yeah.
Plus, it was an Indian rhino, and Richard Gere kissed it and offended everybody.
They're the...
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar.
They're the baddest ass of all animals. Yeah. They don't really get their due. You know, everyone gets caught up in the great white shark, and you know, great white shark's pretty cool.
It's cool.
But a great white shark is 2,000 pounds. This is 6,000 pounds, and this is one of the only animals, to my mind, to my knowledge, the only animal that takes a look at a Range Rover in the desert with 8 guys hanging off and goes, I think I can take it.
Right.
I think I got this one. That thing's coming in about 4,500 pounds. I got 1,500 pounds on that bitch.
Yeah.
I think I'll take it out.
I got it.
I don't like, there's a 4-wheel drive vehicle that's in my way. I think I'm going to take it out.
Now, I think you'll probably know this, but do you know what animal kills more humans than any other animal on the planet?
The hippo.
Damn right it does.
Yeah.
I thought you'd know that.
Hippos are very scary, too, and people don't.
They don't.
They think they're lovable.
Right.
Those teeth are outrageous, and they use their
tusks.
Aggressive.
Yeah. Their mouth opens up past 180 degrees. Like, I mean, it just opens flat, and then pow. But the rhino, I love to watch rhinos take on four-wheel drive automobiles.
And do okay.
Yes.
Well, congratulations to Nikki on her little baby rhino. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
All right. When we come back, I will do a little of my own news. You guys can tell me what you think. I hope you can help me with an answer. I was watching CNN this morning. They talked about transporting, making dry runs. There's Al-Qaeda's a beehive of activity. They think something's going to happen this summer. And the latest thing is people are making dry runs through airports with bomb components just to see. You see, they say Al-Qaeda is actually pretty efficient and does its homework. It doesn't willy-nilly just try to launch a plan that involves an airport. It tests the waters.
Yeah, they're not just the guys on the wooden monkey bars you see on the news.
Right.
They really think some stuff out.
Yeah, they go, look, if we're going to try to blow up a plane, let's get a guy at the box cutter and send him to Boston and see if he makes it through security. Months before the actual plan is hatched. Well, they're doing this again, or at least we think they're doing this again, but it's very confusing. I'll play the news story, and you can help shed some light on it next.
Drippers and do something. It's the second annual Corolla Car Wash at the Spearman Rhino on Normandy Avenue in Torrance.
I remember the first time my daddy took me to a stripper car wash.
It's so wet and soapy down here.
Stop by for some of Oswaldo's famous flapsteak.
I don't know if you can do better than Ozzy's flapsteak.
Chimichurri. Plus a ton of strippers and porn stars on hand to wash your car for free. Though we do ask that you make a donation to Savannah's Organic Ranch to support the fight to cure cancer. This Friday morning at the Spearman Rhino in Torrance.
Get a lap dance and play your cards right. I'll give you the chamois treat.
Let's get back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Proceeds going to Savannah's Organic Ranch. That porn star that killed herself has an organic ranch?
Well, remember Belly Feed the Trees?
Hmm, yes.
That's really Savannah? The porn star?
No. I don't know.
You had me going.
All right. I was watching CNN this morning, as I always do, and I've been complaining a lot.
I think you used the phrase, as I always do, a sentence prematurely.
About the news, especially. I want to hear the story. I don't want to just, you tell me what happens, but tell me why it's happening. Because, for instance, one I've been harping about is the terrorist plot to attack a military base in, like, New Jersey or something. Remember that one about 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Why are terrorists planning to attack a place with a bunch of trained guys with guns? I thought they were supposed to go after civilians. I mean, I pray they were. The day terrorists or Al-Qaeda sets its sights on our military bases is the day I sleep like a baby and waltz through the airport. I'm happy that they want to attack our military bases. Why? Because there's nine of them with handguns and there's 2,000 of our guys with M16s. No problemo. But the news just reports it. No one ever raises their hand and goes, why are they attacking I understand why they're attacking a military. They're attacking soldiers that are trained. They never answer that question. They just keep repeating the story, and I want to know the answer. Now, the latest story they keep repeating is all over CNN this morning. It's on CNN right now as I glance up at our TV set, which is they're making dry runs. They are going through the airport, and they have been discovering the Department of Transportation or whoever works over there has been discovering suitcases not only checked through but also carried through with bizarre items in it, things to mimic bombs. For instance, two blocks. Well, I'll play you the clip and then we'll talk about it.
The TSA bulletin was meant for law enforcement and it had an alarmist tone. It read, a surge in recent suspicious incidents at U.S. airports may indicate terrorists are conducting pre-attack security probes and dry runs similar to dress rehearsals. September 16th, Baltimore. Agents find a checked bag with a block of cheese connected to a cell phone charger. November 8th, Houston. Inside a passenger's checked bag, a plastic bag with a 9-volt battery, wires, and a block of clay. June 4th, Milwaukee. A carry-on bag contains a wire coil around an electrical switch, three tubes, and two blocks of cheese. And July 5th, San Diego, a checked bag contains duct tape around two ice packs filled with clay. The bulletin went on to say some of these incidents led the TSA to evacuate terminals, but ultimately, the investigation had not linked passengers carrying these items with terrorist organizations.
Jeez! Wow, that's cool.
Do you even remember saying that?
I like their dry runs.
I know. Rehearsal.
July 29th, a man with a six-foot styrofoam turban and a fake Fidel Castro beard wearing a bedsheet attempts to make his way. I guess they just want to know what we're going to do. Now, here's the story. They're reporting, and they showed pictures. Two blocks of cheese, not the pre-sliced American cheese, because that cheese don't explode, Al-Qaeda.
That's right.
This cheese don't run. You understand?
It's
why? It's not really cheese, but the point is it's American cheese. Oh, the irony of you blowing up American cheese on American soil.
That might actually be explosive because it's filled with space-age polymers.
Is that commie cheese like Havarti?
Yeah.
Or Munster. The monster of cheeses.
What about Swiss?
Neutral. Point is this. They take these blocks of cheese. You've seen that Tillabrook cheese or whatever, the cheddar? The sharp. It comes in a nice big block. Well, it has the consistency of C4.
What is C4?
Plastic explosives.
Ah. That's why it's the rehearsal C4, the cheese.
Right.
Yeah, they could have gone with Play-Doh. There could have been a fair amount of things.
Yeah,
that
when you pass it, when you pass it through the machine that does the X-ray, it has the consistency of plastique explosives, and thus, if it set off bells and whistles, then you'd know. Okay, you can't pass the plastic explosives through this, hence the dry run, dress rehearsal, test the water one. So here's the part that bumps me. You have people trying to carry bags filled with cheese that have cell phone rechargers duct taped to them and wires stuck into the cheese.
Right.
Have you talked to the fella? What does he have to say for himself? And the story went on to say that, yeah, they talked to the guys. Their answers didn't seem great, but they're not terrorists. Well, who the F are they?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington is carrying a wheel of Havarti with wire sticking out of it through the airport. I want to know what's up with this dude. And his, like, I got some decent answers, but nothing that feels like I'm telling the truth is not good enough for me.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and send him to Guantanamo, throw him in with the buddies that he's either a part of or seems to be sympathetic toward, and find out what's going on with this guy, perhaps by dumping gallons of water on him until he chokes. I mean, either you're Al-Qaeda, or you're worse, you're just a guy who thinks it's a great idea to F around with the government in this time of high alert.
Or a criminal who's just, here, we'll give you $5,000, this thing won't explode, they cannot arrest you for cheese and wire.
Right.
Just a petty criminal that somebody bought a ticket for, said, try and do this for us.
Right, yeah, maybe Al-Qaeda said, hey, Blue Eyes over here, yeah, you're a junkie, here's a couple grand.
Just go through the airport. There's a trip to Philly or wherever you're going.
Yeah.
How are they going to arrest you? Even a junkie can figure out, you know, they're probably right. Like, you really can't get arrested for cheese.
Plus, it doesn't look good in court when they're trying to arrest you and somebody says, all right, let's bring the evidence out. And someone goes, the police dog ate it.
Didn't even get sick.
Penicillin now.
If in fact it does pass in the next few weeks, Your Honor, we'll bring it in here on a silver platter. But yes, the news needs to not only tell me here's what happened. If you tell me, well, a school bus filled with retarded children drove off an interpass and crashed in flames. Fine, that's the story, but I want to know what happened. Did the tire blow out? Did the driver have a heart attack? Tell me what's going on. Not just there's all these incidents, and now I'm freaked out.
Yeah.
But I'm more
confused.
Confused. Like, okay, so these guys weren't Al-Qaeda.
Right.
They were not terrorists. That you've established.
They've repeatedly said the phrase, no credible specific threat.
So they were just regular Americans with zero connection to terrorist organizations who created dummy bombs using not only cheese, but clay, which is really the consistency of C4, complete with wires stuck into it. Now, it wasn't the kind of thing like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial where, hey, your cell phone charger's stuck in my cheese. Hey, your cheese is stuck in my... No, it wasn't like, well, the guy was packing cheese and packing a cell phone thing and somehow they commingled. There were wires stuck into the side of the cheese.
For those of you that can't figure out exactly what Adam's trying to talk about, remember Caddyshack? When Bill Murray's trying to kill the gopher and he uses C4 to make little gopher friends and he makes rabbits out of them and stuff because they're like clay?
Right.
That's what we're talking about here with C4.
Right. So obviously this is no coincidence.
Right.
Somebody is trying to figure out if they bring a bomb on a plane, will they get stopped? Now, is the guy a terrorist or is he Tim McVeigh?
Right.
Or is he just plain effing nuts? Either way, tell us or figure it out. I want to know if these guys are still being held. I want to know what the charges would be if you tried to do this. Again, it's not a bomb, but it's simulating a bomb. And to me, that's the same as trying to bring a bomb in. It's good enough for me. If you hold up a bank with a gun that has no bullets in it or one that has 30 rounds in it, you're still trying to rob a bank. I want you prosecuted the same way.
I would tend to agree with you, but the law is the law. And unless you can find some illegality because he didn't threaten the plane, he just had cheese and wire, two completely legal substances. You cannot put a guy in jail for intentions.
Yeah, but there are, I believe there are laws on the book for simulating this kind of thing that are pretty strict that you could hold a guy for quite some time. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I just want to know the rest of the story. And again, I want you guys to help me figure this one out. I mean, what do you guys think? A domestic nut job, just nutty, attention-seeking guy. B, a paid-off by terrorist group, as Danny would suggest. I mean, the terrorists, as we talked about earlier, I think last week, they now know that there's no way 18 of them are going to board a plane anymore without all eyes on the plane on them. As much as we talk about not doing profiling, we're all on high alert looking for 30-something-year-old bearded guys. You want to do your next big terrorist attack, you are going to need the...
Round-eyed devil.
Yeah, you're going to need the Manchurian candidate. You're going to need the guy, the blue-eyed guy who was programmed to carry out your bidding. And believe me, there are plenty of guys in the woods of Plentywood, Montana who have been stockpiling ammunitions and garbanzo beans that are more than happy to attack this government.
Yes, there are.
As I brought up, the aforementioned Timothy McVeigh had no problem blowing up a federal building. There are plenty of Ruby Ridge-type guys. Unfortunately, I think the only thing they hate more than this government is probably people that are a different color than they are. So I'm not so sure how they would do with the Sandman telling them to blow up the government.
Right. No, they don't take charge from terrorists there because they believe themselves to be real Americans.
Right.
You know what I mean? The rest of us bleeding heart liberals. Somebody actually asked me yesterday, said some guy in an elevator in a news thing said, I'd love to get my hands on a liberal like you.
Like you?
Dude, yeah. What? I said, just because I live in this town, I think everybody should be put to death for jaywalking. I'm the least liberal guy I know.
Yeah.
What about for charging their cell phone with a block of cheese? Don't ask questions.
Put them in Gitmo.
Put them in Gitmo and figure it out later.
I just do a simple math when it comes to this society. You are either Al-Qaeda, you're either paid by Al-Qaeda, or you're so effing nuts you thought this would be a nice idea. Either way, we're going to put you in a hole, and we're not going to let you out. As a matter of fact, the guy who wasn't paid by Al-Qaeda, the guy who wasn't trying to get his next hit of horse and who just did it because he thought it would be a cool idea, that guy, to me, even more dangerous.
Absolutely.
All right. We have a 1,000 calls on this topic, except for zero names next to the 1,000 calls.
We have a new phone screener.
Yes. All right. I'm now going to take a break or I'll just randomly take a fist and punch the phone and see if someone's name comes up.
Yeah,
all right, let's try this. Caller?
Yeah.
What's your name?
My name is John.
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 What do you think, John?
I think we should lock these MFers up for a little while or send them to Guantanamo Bay. Because I want to know who's behind him.
What do you think they're doing? They said that these guys are not linked to terrorist groups.
I think they're their own terrorists. Yeah, great, they're not in a group, but they're doing something on their own then.
They said men and women, which was weird too.
Yeah, four seizures, San Diego, Milwaukee, Houston, Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm in Orange County, so the San Diego one sort of trips me out because I've flown out of there before. Let me tell you, if I saw someone... If I was a TSA screener and saw a block of cheese with some wire going through, it definitely would be stopped, and they definitely wouldn't be boarding the plane that they were supposed to be on.
Yeah. No, I would immediately hop on my walkie-talkie and be like, yeah, listen, we got a code 6. We got a code 5 over here. I'm going to need some backup, some pepper spray, and some wheat thins, and a white wine, something assertive without being pushy. let's see. Fred, how hot is it outside? Ooh, it's in the 90s. Yeah, bring a Pinot. Pinot be nice, chilled. But again, let's not screw it up this time. Remember, just give it about just a little cooler than room temperature. All right? And what are you guys good for? We need some summer sausage, something like that?
Some cocktail wieners would be good for me.
Cocktail wieners for Bonaduce. Yeah, stat! that's how it would work for me. All right, we have an attorney with answers. From Fresno.
An attorney with answers? Wow.
Tani, the attorney from Fresno with answers?
I'm at least an attorney with opinions.
What do you think?
Good enough.
I think that, I know that you can be prosecuted for simulating a weapon, any kind of weapon, a toy gun, that's a weapon.
Right.
And also that this has to be someone that's being paid by Al-Qaeda.
That's what I say.
Well, why can't we figure this out?
We should be able to. They should be able to detain the person based on the weapon or the simulated weapon and question and investigate this person. But like you said, Al-Qaeda is smart, and it depends how much they're getting paid, how much they're going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But we have intelligent people that ask questions. I'm sure they can find out where this is coming from. I just don't think they want to release that information.
I was thinking that too.
And then the next thing is we're very much against torture. I have no problem with torture because to me it's just a simple math game. There are 300 people in that airplane this person is trying to blow up versus one guy who's getting smacked around. I'll take the one guy getting smacked around even if there's a very slight potential the 300 people may lose their lives. I'm going with the one guy smacked around.
Yeah.
So those of you who don't like torture, maybe it's the 300 people dying.
Yeah,
I don't like, you see?
In
our government, we like, we'll let 10 guilty people go free or 100 guilty people go free so that one innocent isn't convicted. But in this case, I think the inverse is true.
Absolutely.
All these people are going to die. One person, you need to talk.
I totally agree. And if they don't feel like talking, then we will make you talk. And I have zero problem with that. You know, we do that thing with profiling and we do it with torture. Like, hey, we don't torture. Hey, we don't profile. And I'm like, hey, start the goddamn torturing and the profiling. I don't want another building to come down.
It doesn't mean anything to you that we've got to be the guys in the white hats, that we have to win this on our terms as the good guys, not as the guys who sunk down to their level.
This is one of those movies where the guy enters the ring, sort of Marcus of Queensberry, and the other guy says, fine, let me just take my jacket off. And as he's taking his jacket off, he throws sand in the guy's eyes and then tries to strangle him with his jacket. And then the guy says one more time, look, I fight Marcus of Queensberry. Now may the better man win. And the guy says, you know what? You're right. And then he throws a pot of coffee on the guy. This is the part of the movie where the guy gets knocked down because his face is hit with the piping hot coffee. And you see him reach for the table leg. And you think, yes, yes, the gloves are coming off.
Right.
That's fine. That's the way they want to roll. Fine. Now we need to roll that way.
Okay, but if we need to roll that way, I don't want to hear smacked around then, because that's not torture. I one time read that I shave dry. I don't even wet my face.
Mm-hmm.
I shave with a razor, because I read one time that...
With a machete.
Because I read one time there was some American soldiers were being held, and the letter of the law of the Geneva Convention was you have to give the soldiers the ability to shave.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say anything about soap and or water.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using that as a form of torture. And for some reason, I tried it just to see if I'd taken any secrets over dry shaving.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to be a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I shave dry. But anything over that, I'd tell stuff.
Yeah, I would, too.
You know what? You start taking my teeth and breaking them off at the nerve with a pair of pliers.
Yes.
I'm telling.
I would tell, too.
Yeah.
Taylor?
Let me save you some time. Don't break anything. I'm going to tell you right now.
Taylor?
Hello?
You're a FBI special agent?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Special, not retarded. I always hear that. I always think, special agent?
Right.
Special needs agent?
No. Yay!
So, right, okay. Special agent, yes.
I want to make this brief. I want to give you a little strategy on why the information is so limited coming from these
feedback
that you're hearing.
Please.
About. What's happening is when these people get picked up, basically they are, you know, they get the ID, they probably take some questioning, take them in the background. Then they say, you know, everybody's alerted, FBI, CIA, Interpol, everybody knows
mm-hmm.
who these guys are. They got pictures, they go around the world.
Okay? Right.
Now, of course, they're now they basically at this point it's either if they have a background, they're crazy or nuts or whatever, they can detain them at that point. But they're just guys that, like you say, that are being recruited and mm-hmm. thrown through the thing. They want to let those guys go
mm-hmm.
because they want to see who's going to be contacting right. them.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Who's going to? They're basically bait at that point
mm-hmm.
because they're not going to say anything. Maybe they don't even know anything. Maybe mm-hmm. they're just nothing but mules.
Mm-hmm. So they let them go, but they sort of tag them and release them.
You can be assured they uh-huh. will be tagged from top to bottom. Anybody they knew, thought they ever dogs anything.
Mm.
You name it, they will be vetted to the max. So now. Mm. When it comes to people like CNN or reporters or whatever,
mm-hmm.
reporters, anybody that it got a badge on is going to say a damn thing to a reporter.
Right. Sure. So they're not talking to the reporter. So they know, which is comforting. Yeah. They're not telling. I imagine, thanks, Taylor. I imagine the conversation goes something like this. They go into the next room. The two guys, the profilers, the guys from the FBI and the guys from the Special Forces Unit. And they're like, Bert, we got to let him go. Are you crazy? No. We let him go, and then we follow him, and we find out who his contacts are. And then the other guy says, that's a brilliant idea. Perhaps he'll lead us to the nest. And then a third guy says, but what if that a-hole Corolla starts talking about it on his crappy morning show? And he goes, who's that? He's doing mornings out here. Really? I hadn't heard. Yes! How long's he been on? A year and a half! You're asking me. I thought he was still doing that love line. Look, the point is, what if that a-hole starts blabbing and some guy calls in as a special CIA agent and starts answering all his questions and this guy hears it? And the other guy says, what are the chances he's going to be listening to Corolla in the morning? And the other guy says, yes, but still on the off chance that he might, perhaps we should just keep him now and interrogate him. And the other guy, I know, I'm out of other guy scenarios, okay, but you know, you know what I'm saying? I may have blown the lid off this whole thing. The guy may be sitting in his one bedroom apartment right now waiting for the phone to ring. Waiting for Al-Qaeda to call. Yeah.
He just compromised our country's
security.
He just
realized the phone has now been tapped.
Yeah.
And he's going to go use a payphone on the corner.
Now, how name is this guy?
The, which guy?
The guy that's been released from jail
guy.
And doesn't... The other guy.
The other guy
that doesn't think that the cops that just kicked him free are going to be following him.
I don't
they
know
They sell a tracking device
works.
In Sky Mall.
Yes. I don't know. Yes. Michael from Seattle saying we're testing our own infrastructure. They're saying this is us testing us.
I've heard that.
Oh.
Michael, you say it's us testing us?
I hope.
Well, that's what I believe. I believe...
Hold on, he's got to get a cell phone charger and attach it to
Please
his
try teeth. Your call again later.
All right, us testing us, I get it.
Yeah, I've heard
I
that.
I like that
idea.
That wouldn't completely surprise me because I've seen news shows where newsmen actually smuggle things through.
Well, hey. I know when I worked at Houlihan's, they'd send their own people to sit in your section and see if you were a good server.
It is exactly the same thing.
That's totally true.
Exactly the same. Right. Ty?
Yeah.
You're an Iraq vet. You have some insight?
Yes, I am. Oftentimes, what happened to us is they'd have people trying to probe us. So, like, we know if there's a car that's sitting really low, there's a chance there can be explosives in the back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we'd see that, and people would just take out, you know, the most part of their suspension to see how it would react to vehicles, and they'd be watching us from a distance.
Uh-huh.
I think that they could be doing that as well.
So your own guys would modify the car, park it, and then you should see.
No, Iraqis.
Iraqis would do it. Oh, I see. The enemy would do it just to see what caught your attention.
Yes.
Right.
That's how we react to the situation.
Right. It is very important if you're going to try to pull off anything to know how people are going to react.
Right.
You're hoping there's a non-reaction, but if there is a reaction, you want them to find cheese and not C4. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the milk byproduct of the old days when gangs would have 12-year-olds shoot you because nothing would happen to the 12-year-old. And then they eventually started prosecuting these people as adults.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with the cheese. You remember, like, the gangs in the old days would have a kid killer. Mm-hmm. They'd say, nothing's going to happen to you. They can't do anything. You're 12. Don't worry. Just drive by on the bicycle and shoot that guy. And the cops would essentially release him to his parents and say, we don't know what to do with 12-year-olds. And now they prosecute him. Pretty soon, dairy products, prison.
Please leave cream cheese alone. Yeah. I need my schmear.
Can't get the schmear without that. We'll take ourselves a break. Let's see when we come back. Wow. Talk about continuing the news. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Britney Spears had this sort of meltdown during this OK Magazine.
Yeah.
Shoot.
There are photos.
Yeah. And they say these photos are more damning than, you know, any bootleg porn that some disgruntled ex-boyfriend could have given to YouTube.
That's terrible, man.
That this stuff really suggests not just an addiction, but like a full-fledged meltdown and more damaging than anything else that could be out there. We have the Marianne Norbaum. The ironically named Norbaum, because we're just talking about bombs on planes. She is the bureau chief for OK Magazine.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to her.
It's going to be one of these things, though, where people go, what do you do? And she goes, I'm the L.A. bureau chief to OK Magazine. And they were like, huh? Did you say the Wall Street Journal? No! OK. Magazine! Did you say...
You're not a tabloid fan?
It's just bureau chief sounds great, and then you find out it's OK Magazine.
And I like the name of that magazine because it's not braggy.
It's not, yeah, right. It's not okay. Great. Mm-hmm. It's not Tony the Tiger magazine.
Mm, yeah. And Trump's Us is the world's laziest magazine title. It goes People in third place, Us second, OK is number one, is the world's... It's the least amount of effort ever spent naming something.
Then what about a television channel called We?
Well, good point.
Thank you.
All right. We will talk to L.A. bureau chief of OK Magazine, and she will give us the inside dope on the Britney Spears photo shoot next.
We're still playing Who Wants to Be Underpaid? The search for the new phone screener. Let's see how Ozzy did.
Good morning, I'm Carola Show.
Hi, I was calling about the call screener position.
Good morning, I'm Carola Show.
Hi, I was calling about the call screener.
Maybe I'm missing.
Hello?
I'm Carola Show.
Hi, I was calling about the call screener position.
Call screener position?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
My name's Kyle. Makes it easy.
Kyle? Okay, where you from?
Visalia.
Brasilia?
California. It's near Fresno.
Oh, yeah? Oh, is it Brasilia, Brazil?
Not Brasilia.
Oh, okay. Where you from?
Call 866-901-ADAM. The search for our new phone screener continues all this week on the Adam Carolla Show.
I have to talk to Ozzy on the phone like 8 times a week. He calls frantically telling me something's wrong, and I can never find out what it is. All right. As we'd mentioned, Marianne Norbaum is on the phone with us. She is the West Coast Bureau Chief of OK Magazine. Everyone's talking about this Britney Spears meltdown. I believe it's going to be chronicled in OK Magazine, which comes out this Friday. Marianne?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So,
by the way, big fan of your magazine even before it came out in the States. My wife loved OK Magazine.
Fantastic. Glad to hear it.
We have heard much about this Britney Spears thing and are eagerly anticipating the photos. But first off, what photos will we see? Basically, you don't have to get too specific. I don't want to be a spoiler, but they're photos of the photo shoot going wrong.
Actually, let me update you on one thing. You can get okay on the stands here tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
And LA, there's even a couple places you can get it this afternoon. The photos have been the subject of a lot of rumor and a lot of inaccurate reporting.
Mm-hmm.
What I can tell you about the photos is we had just barely gotten started with the shoot when she ran out on us. What had been taken up to that time was just not up to the quality that OK publishes.
Well, so the whole thing started when she contacted you guys, right?
Correct. She actually does have a representative or two still in place. We've all heard how she doesn't have a publicist anymore. She doesn't have a manager, but she does have a couple of professional people, and we were contacted by one of those people. It wasn't actually Brittany herself who called.
Mm-hmm.
But this was something she wanted to do. She initiated this.
And this was going to be a photo shoot and that would be accompanied with a story about Britney Spears in order to sort of aid her comeback?
Yes. I mean, OK Magazine is famous for our fantastic photographs. We photograph some of the most glamorous and beautiful actresses in the world. We run photos from their weddings and new babies.
And
you know what
it's vibrant.
This is what we're known for. So she wanted to present herself in that glamorous, okay kind of way and do an interview with it to talk about her hope for her comeback, her children, and to try to set the record straight as she saw it on some of the rumors that were out there.
Well, a few questions. And by the way, Marianne Norbaum is on the phone with us. She's the West Coast Bureau Chief for OK Magazine. The magazine is hitting the stands tomorrow, although if you camp out, you might be able to get something tonight here in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Were you present on the shoot?
I was not. This was supposed to be a fairly normal shoot. But because it was Britney Spears, our editor-in-chief, Sarah Ivins, had flown out from New York. And then to do the interview, I had assigned one of the writers from my office, Ryan Smith, to go do the interview.
Mm-hmm.
No one expected things to go anything remotely like how they went. So I was busy doing other things.
Did they ever get any of the interview?
The interview had just barely started. We were there with her for 3 hours and almost 3.5 hours.
And what was reported back to you? I mean, you're not on the shoot. You're the bureau chief.
I'm getting the text messages from my writer that things are going badly. Things are going belly up.
For folks who haven't heard, we should probably just maybe you can help us out with what's been reported. She was wiping her greasy hands on her designer dress. Her dog was going to the bathroom on the floor. She was wiping it up with the designer dress.
Sort of correct.
Uh-huh.
We had in the okay way of doing things, we had hired a first class fabulous photographer who had actually shot her several times before and his whole team.
Mm-hmm.
We had hair, makeup, stylist. We had a producer for the shoot. We had rented an incredible mansion in the Hollywood Hills, so we'd have the most glamorous kind of backdrop.
Yeah.
This is how we brought in a caterer so everybody would be fed and happy.
So you guys are essentially, I think I did a photo shoot in OK Magazine. Is that true?
Probably a fashion shoot.
No, it was one of those, we're going to shoot your house and your wife and your dog standing next to some stuff.
Yeah, we do. We love doing home shoots.
I think that's true, but I can't remember. I'll go look in the office and find out what magazine that was. Didn't I show that to you, Bonaducci?
Once,
or was that another magazine? In Touch.
We don't talk about
it. Yeah, it sucked, by the way.
Out of touch.
This morning, there are no magazines other than OK.
The pictures were fat. I looked fat, and they were blurry.
Man, I was in a castle. They made it look like a shack.
That's right.
But things just did not go right from the word go.
So you guys now have an opportunity to turn lemons into lemonade because
hell yes.
Your first impulse was we just got screwed out of $25,000. We had to hire
her. With her clothes also.
That was just the clothes that she and her assistant left with. You know how it works at these photo shoots. We borrow clothes
from designers.
From stores and from designers.
Right.
They have to be returned.
Right.
When she bolted with her new assistant, out the door went dresses, went shoes, went a $5,000 ring, went over $20,000 in clothes and jewelry that either disappeared with them or were damaged and were not then returned,
right,
like the dress that she wiped her hands on.
Right. So you guys, between the photographer, the mansion you rent, the caterer,
right,
and all the people that are on the payroll are thousands, maybe maybe exceeding $100,000 in the hole, you think this whole thing is going to be a waste, but you've spun it around. And
well,
now it's going to be gravy, right?
The way OK really, truly loves celebrities, we love bringing glamorous celebrities to our readers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ever our way of doing things to try to embarrass a celebrity or show them in a bad light.
Right.
In this case, it was so honestly pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, for my writer there, when we were talking through it, it was so sad have seen what has happened to this girl, and nobody seems to be stepping up to the plate to really help her. Now, I realize she's an adult. It's not like she's 12 and her parents can just ship her off someplace, but we're dealing with somebody who is truly in trouble.
Yeah, so you're reading between the lines here, and you're saying this person is on some sort of substance. I mean, this isn't the act of somebody that's sober.
We're not going to make that judgment call, or make that assumption even. What we saw was somebody who was deeply in trouble.
See, here's what I'm hearing lately. What I'm hearing is that she's absolutely lost her faculties, that she's not necessarily on anything, that she's had a breakdown, gets confused about where she is, what she's doing. I've heard that she's not necessarily on drugs, but has absolutely broken down, which is sadder.
Yeah, there's talk
were certainly times during the shoot where she did seem to be confused.
Yeah, I heard she was making many trips to the bathroom as well, which would suggest
that's correct.
With the
some
door,
drug use.
With the door open?
That is, I believe, correct.
Door open, bathroom run.
Did anyone see what was happening?
Unfortunately, they didn't take the dog out to go to the bathroom. The dog, a poor dog, it's not the dog's fault. Nobody's bothered to housebreak it. Nobody takes it for a walk.
Sure.
The dog found a $7,000 Zach Posen dress.
Oh, my God.
And decided to take a poop. And there it sat until one of the people on the photographer's staff finally couldn't take it anymore and sort of demanded to, speaking in the direction of Brittany and her assistant, that one of them had to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the assistant did take some tissue and clean it up. But there goes the $7,000 Zach Posen dress.
So this is all chronicled or mostly chronicled in the OK Magazine, which is coming out Thursday. How many pages are we talking about here?
We're talking about the cover and let me mention about the cover photo. The cover photo is she's in a dress that she took off with. She was running out of the shoot.
And
she was in one of our dresses.
Right. All right. So let's just recap here. We're talking to Marianne Norbaum. She's the West Coast Bureau Chief of OK Magazine. They did a photo shoot at Britney Spears' request and an interview. They spent a bunch of money on it. She basically wigged out and screwed everything up. And whereas they're celebrity friendly, they're not going to take this kind of beating without recouping some of the money they invested. Now, here's the question. Did Britney or what's left of Britney's people reach out to you, or did you reach out to them? Did you say to them, look, we're going to run these photos. I don't think you want that. I think, A, you need to recoup our losses monetarily, and B, we need to reschedule something for when you're in a little better mood. Did you contact them? Did they contact you?
Sounds like bad business.
We contacted them immediately after she ran out.
Mm-hmm.
She was dressed for the shoot. She was in her hair and in her makeup. She had used one of the dresses as a napkin after she ate her chicken meal, which is what she requested. And the dress she had on, she rubbed her hands all over the front and back of the dress. That's the dress she left in, by the way.
Right. So you contact their people and they say what?
We contacted her people. Honestly, the conversations are still ongoing as to what the final resolution will be.
Well, the final resolution is you're going to make a fortune
on those photos, and you can kind of do it with a clear conscience because she instigated the whole thing and never rectified it.
When you see the issue, you'll understand that, you know, I sound like a broken record, but this is the okay way of doing things. We really do love our celebrities. We're not out there to embarrass them. And it was just so sad and disheartening.
Was she paid to do this interview, Marianne?
Pardon me?
Was she paid by OK?
We never, ever, honestly, I'm not going to, I hate to pass the buck on this one, but we never discuss those arrangements with celebrities. Just don't.
Brian, you have the cha-ching sound effect there?
There is a rumor that she was paid very handsomely.
Well,
that's okay with me.
Either way, I'm feeling like her 15 minutes are just about up. And as I say all the time with Brittany, the difference between Britney and Whitney is Whitney has chops and pipes and has something to come back to or from. I'm not so sure that Britney was touched by God that way. And when you don't have that kind of talent, it's hard to make a comeback.
That's a very good point, but Britney still had an enormous fan base and a lot of personality.
Right.
She could have come back in a different way. Not the Britney of 5 years ago.
Yes.
But in a different way, as a different kind of personality.
Having her lap dog crap on expensive gowns is probably not the strategy you'd want to work as far as a comeback goes. Hey, Marianne, thank you. We'd love to talk to you in the future.
You're very welcome. I had a great time. Have a good day, guys.
It was
good
times. Thank you.
Okay, magazine, everyone out on newsstands Thursday. Oh, what a windfall for them.
They are so lucky.
I mean, I don't know how many, you know, average issues they sell. I'm not sure exactly what their circulation is, but
it's not gigantic here yet like it is in the UK.
Right, but either way, this is going to outsell the one of Charlie Sheen with the whoops caption underneath him that was from last week, right?
Yep.
I mean, this is going to be mammoth because everyone's buzzing about it and it's not even out yet. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, yes, one of my favorite games here, Rich Man, Poor Man, 866-901-ADAM. You guys know how this one goes. I was sitting over in the writer's room at Kimmel many years ago, and I thought, outdoor showers. And I thought, only super rich guys and super poor guys have outdoor showers. And thus, Rich Man, Poor Man was born. We have many, many examples. All new, actually. Teresa has hers. Danny has his. I have mine. These are things that rich people and poor people share exclusively, such as being driven to the airport or being driven. Poor people, backseat of a cop car.
Right.
Rich guy, backseat of a chauffeured limousine, and so on and so on. Big jewelry on the woman's side. Rich women wear huge chunks of real jewelry. Poor women overcompensate with the bad clamp on, stuff they got off the QVC. Super gaudy, super big. Rich, poor, the in-between. The middle class does not participate. Rich man, poor man. We'll play it next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Time for a little rich man, poor man. These are things that the very rich and the very poor have in common.
Lots of big jewelry.
Big shield-size earrings. I think poor people overcompensate by going with the big nugget watches and the big jewelry. I've seen black women that look like Mr. T's mom.
It's Rich Man, Poor Man on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, one that just popped into my mind is luxury cars like Cadillacs.
Ah.
The poorest people drive around the worst Cadillacs. And then, of course, you got Daddy Warbucks driving the new Eldo around. Yeah, Rich Man, Poor Man. I have some. You have some. T and Danny have some. Let me, let's do a little intro that we didn't ironically spend very much on.
Rich Man.
Indicates poverty.
Mm-hmm. Live on a tropical island. Either you own a sugar plantation or you work on one.
Nice.
You're either the super rich guy or the super poor guy.
That's good.
Here's an interesting one. Drink liquor that doesn't advertise. Either there's that fine vintage wine that, of course, it's $300 a bottle. They don't advertise. Or there's the Night Train or the Mad Dog or the other stuff that the...
Damn, folks, that one's deep.
Folks pretend like they don't...
You'd think I'd have got that one.
Yeah, or even poor people, they make their own alcohol.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that'd be far more expensive than going to the store and getting a bottle of Popov for a buck.
Right. World's cheapest vodka. Listen, I'm no vodka connoisseur, but it should not come in a squeeze bucket. Literally, it comes in a plastic thing. It's like a squeeze vodka container. That's a bad sign. Like, I'll go cheap on the vodka, but I won't go below glass.
Right.
I don't want a trash bag full of vodka.
Yeah, you'll go Smirnoff.
I'll go Smirnoff, and that's where I stop.
Yeah.
I don't go with the stuff where it's, hey, here's a trash bag with some duct tape that says Pop a Lock Off on it, and there's a potato floating in it.
Now, the cool part on that is that the good vodkas, the Belvedere, the Grey Goose, the Chopins, things like that, now make the airplane-sized bottles.
Mm.
So when you're hiding from your wife, they fit nicely in your boots.
Mm. Ah, mm.
The more you know.
Yeah. I hope my kids see a day where airplane-sized bottle means bottle the size of an airplane. Literally 747 filled with vodka.
Nice tea? Yes. Okay.
What do you got, baby doll?
Here's one in honor of Britney Spears walking out of that OK shoot with all her clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Rich girl, poor girl, stealing clothes by wearing them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Kmart. You put the clothes nice. Under your clothes and you walk
yeah.
out.
Or you pull a Winona Ryder
yes.
or a whatever Ryder no, and yeah. Go steal it.
The most famous one yeah. is, what's the guy? She's supposed to be a genius, but she showed her beeb in that movie.
Sharon Stone.
She's famous for that.
A lot of actresses just think, you know, they have a sense of entitlement. They wear it in a photo shoot and they take it.
How yeah. sad is that for Sharon Stone?
Or,
I just described her that way and you got it.
Or you just get whacked down on prescription meds and head over to Barney's in New York.
Yeah.
And there
yeah.
you go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else you got?
I got another one in honor of Lindsay Lohan. I don't know if this one works, but I feel like it might. Your dad's in jail. Either he embezzled or, you know, a petty crime.
Yeah, middle class. You talk to your average guy driving the tourist station wagon
right.
with the 2.3 kids and the picket fence. His pops usually isn't in the joint.
Right.
Right. But on the other hand, in the federal pen are several billionaires.
Right.
Including Winona Helmsley.
Yeah.
Helmsley.
Yeah. Leona.
Leona Helmsley.
Right.
Yeah.
Good yeah, you got the country club right. ones for the guys that defrauded their company out of billions of dollars. Right. Right. Dan, what do you got?
I like this one a little bit. Coin collections.
Ooh.
Poor man has a cup full of coins,
right.
a coffee can full
Shaking
of coins.
It. Wants yeah. another
got,
one.
Got a whole collection of
mm-hmm.
coins.
Mm-hmm.
Rich man has a 1946 D misprint dime worth $140,000 as just one of the coins in his massive collection.
It's general good. Attention to coins, handling of coins. Right.
Yeah.
In the middle class, it's just something you throw at the meter so it'll
right.
go away.
Right.
All
for
right,
the,
that's
the
a good
poor,
one.
Complete substance, and mm-hmm. for the rich, it is their part of their collection with their vintage wine.
Yeah.
Good. Got
yeah.
another one?
I do indeed.
Mm.
Having so many possessions, you can't possibly house them all on your own, so extra storage.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Rich man has an airplane hangar, at least a storage unit
right, a
big
warehouse.
Enough for the
mm-hmm.
minks during the summer months and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The poor man has one extra shopping cart mm-hmm. for the two. One he can push, one he can pull, and another one tied to the one he can pull.
Mm-hmm.
The third one's definitely a storage unit.
Yeah, wagon train of shopping
yeah.
carts.
Yeah.
Or even the guy, the poor man who lives in the super small, crappy apartment and still has junk that he needs to stash
right.
somewhere. I am the rich guy with the warehouse. My buddy Ozzy is the poor guy whose junk is in my warehouse.
Right.
Do you think a lot of rich guys have poor friends? Or do rich guys only hang out with other rich guys?
No, I think, it depends on how you got rich.
Ah.
Like, all my friends, that's a short group. Most people I know, like Adam, have the same friends they hung with before
right.
they were rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Ray certainly proves my point.
Yeah. Mm. It just means every time you go out to dinner with them, no matter where the bill lands in front of who, because the waiter doesn't know who the rich guy is
right.
in the group of everyone wearing T-shirts and sweatpants, it gets balled up and thrown at the rich guy.
Right. That is a fact.
Let's and play some games.
Here's how you're thanked, too, by the way, by how big a strain it is for you.
Ah.
You see, if you make 30 grand a year and you're at the table with a bunch of guys who make 15 grand a year, you'll pay the check, but you'll be thanked.
Right.
If you make $3 million a year in your table with a bunch of guys that make, you will not get thanked.
No, that's expected at the very least, and they resent you for being able to do it.
And if you tell them, thank me, they go, why? It's no skin off your teeth, Daddy Warbucks. All right, Kyle.
Yep.
What do you have?
Hey, country living, man.
Country living.
Yeah, some of us are forced to live in the country. Some of us pay a lot of money to live in the country.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, like, all the rage now is everyone has these houses in Montana and all these getaway places in Idaho and all that. All of rich Hollywood no longer gets away to Malibu. They go out to be secluded in the country. There's that, and then there's just Hillbilly and Shotgun Shack.
The Unabomber in that tiny little shack, I think, in Montana.
Right.
Yeah, bumpkins are millionaires. That's a good one.
Here's one, Joe.
How you doing, Adam?
Rich man, poor man, please.
Hospital workers, you've got your six-figure people, your doctors, your nurses, and you've got your orderlies, you know, usually minorities, your cafeteria workers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a flaw in your theory, though. Adam and I do not consider six-figure people rich people.
That's right.
I do. I was just thinking, this is so good. Just think about the disparity between
Your surgeons are in the high six figures.
Right.
Mid six figures.
It is a place where there's a lot of shoulder rubbing between poor and rich. Mm-hmm. Here's the flaw. The nurses. The nurses make middle a decent class. Living and are right in the middle in between the lowly guy who's mopping the floor or working the cafeteria and the high-priced plastic surgeon who's working at the hospital.
Yeah. Agreed.
Sorry, Joe.
But you did bring up the fact that I am a recovering drug addict and alcoholic and out-earn a surgeon. I think that's funny.
Greg?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Called out of high school on all fours.
What's happening?
So TV is on top of refrigerators. Mm. If you're super poor, your kitchen is your living room, is your bedroom, so you put the TV on top of the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're super rich, you got like a poolside bar, and you got TVs all around your refrigerator.
I'm down with this, Greg. It's not only TVs on top of refrigerators, it's just TVs everywhere in places they wouldn't be. The outdoor TV is a rich man, poor man gig.
And a great gig, though.
Poor guy's got the busted down sofa on the porch and the TV that doesn't work sitting up there that's holding the TV that does work that's out on the porch that he stole from his junky neighbor. And the rich guy has the TV that's mounted in the cabana that's by the pool, and they're spread out
on a 45-degree angle.
Right.
I'm always jealous of that.
Spread out all over his property. Yeah, it's just, in general, stuff being spread out in your yard.
Yeah, outdoor appliances is definitely rich man, poor man.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good one, Greg. Let's talk to Brian. Brian, how say you, my brother?
I was thinking total disregard for law enforcement because poor man doesn't give a rat's ass.
He got cut off or his cell phone dropped off. But, yeah, we can finish it for you.
We can, but I don't necessarily agree. That's rich man, crazy man.
Mm-hmm.
Poor man does, in fact, care about getting arrested. It's three hots in a cot. I mean, you're going to get fed and have a place to sleep, but nobody likes the process. It's a big drag.
Yeah, but it's an entitlement, which is poor guy, not necessarily crazy guy, but possibly on drugs guy or drunk guy, but sort of street guy.
Right.
Cop is yelling at him, stop, drop down your face, and the guy's waving his arms around. He's walking at him, yelling, don't you have someone else to hassle today? There's that one, and then there's the Zsa Zsa Gabor. I'm going to take a swing at a guy who pulls me over because I don't like his tone. There is that rich, weird entitlement thing that you get where you think you can tell the cops to get off your lawn or you think you can yell at your assistant to. This is why, by the way, all these Paris Hiltons and all these people get into trouble. They don't take it seriously.
They think these
rules are for someone other than them. All right, let's do one more. Last one.
This has been good.
Jim. Very Jim?
Good. Yeah. So
they've all been good. Let's not F it up.
Come on, Jim.
They both give their kids unusual names.
Mm-hmm. All right. Example.
Like rich guy, Paris, or Reginald. I'm a poor guy, Paris, or Reginald.
Yes. Uh-huh. Hello. Wow. My name is Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington.
Very nice.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
Yes. Real Prince or Michael Jackson's kid or Prince.
Baron Trump.
I worked.
Countess Isabella.
I went to high school with a guy who played on the football team who was in foster care. Who was the greasiest white dude I've ever seen in my life. And the poor guy's name was Thurston.
Oh,
that's sad.
And it worked on him because he was Thurston, the greasiest blonde-haired guy who lived in a community center with a bunch of other troubled kids that are trying to stab their step-parents. It worked on the guy, but it was, unfortunately, his name was Thurston.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Stability.
That's how he got tough, though. It's almost a boy named Sue.
Boy named Thurston. What else we got, B? And, we got an outro? Let's hear it.
Fridge man.
Poor man.
Wow. Good times. Oh, so much going on. My buddy Ray has been waiting in the wings for quite some time. We thought we'd do a little bit called Ray Enactments. Ray has tons of stories since we've known each other since we were in the fifth grade. Ray was the scariest guy over at Colfax Elementary, and then he graduated to become the scariest guy at Walter Reed Junior High, and then he graduated to become the scariest guy at North Hollywood High.
No, he's not that big of a guy. He's the scariest because you just know that guy's going to go right now. If I look at that guy, he's just going to go.
Well, the thing about it is Ray is in his mid-40s and does nothing but smoke cigarettes and drink beer and is not in the shape he was before, although Ray comes in here and makes a muscle for you. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Ray, when he was in the ninth grade, was 210 pounds and shredded.
You're kidding me.
No. Ooh. No, and Ray's 6'1", 200 pounds now.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. So he's
that.
Not a small guy.
Right.
He's not a massive guy. He was just a scary guy.
Yes.
And he was scary earlier than anyone we knew.
So got used to it.
He was the strongest guy in junior high, and it was documented. He had the bench press record.
Okay.
He put up, 270 pounds in the ninth grade.
I just got him the day you told the story about you got hit with a bat, and Ray walked in not knowing, didn't even think about how many people might be in there with how many bats, just walked in. That's when I got Ray.
That was Ray at his best. We have some stories that involve me and him. We thought we'd do them for you. So I think it's us breaking into a country club, but I'll tell you, we'll narrow it down, and I'll tell it to you next. Ray was coming in with Ozzy. We're trying to get to his stories all the time, but we're always pressed for time and out of time after hearing Ozzy's movie review, so we thought we'd break it off and do a little something we call reenactments.
By the way, even if it sucks,
sit down, kids. It's time for a story with Uncle Adam's friend Ray.
This show's not for kids.
It's a reenactment.
Yeah. Sorry,
that
Danny.
That kind of says it all.
I didn't
know there was going to be an intro. I apologize. I was just going to say, even if it sucked, the name's so good.
Yeah, reenactment.
A reenactment?
It's not even accurate. It's just Ray stories.
So what? It's good. I like it.
Well, we have a few to choose from. We were just talking about Ray whizzing on every single person he's ever met. And
it's a sign. It means I like you.
Ray, I'm insulted.
Oh, you'll get it. Don't worry.
Although you did fling me over your shoulder and throw me into the grotto at the Playboy Mansion like I was a sack.
Ray was naked at the Playboy Mansion. Hey, Ray, what about Alex Arado? Our nice friend.
Our dear, dear friend. Who used to treat us for lunch all the time, on his dime.
Yeah, the basic breakdown was Ray and I were super poor and from the valley and never had any money, yet we ate three times as much as everyone else. We had a couple of Jewish friends from what we called the Hebrew Heights up there.
Well-to-do Jewish friends.
On Laurel Canyon, where everyone was well-to-do compared to us. So we would go out and then beg these guys to buy us a hamburger. We went out to Fat Burger.
We'd barter, too. Like, can I get a double king cheese? No, you can get the cheeseburger.
Right. Ray would always tack some fries onto it. The point is Alex was nice enough to buy Ray a double king cheeseburger with some large fries and a shake at the Fat Burger. And Ray repaid him on the ride home that afternoon. Not drunk. Not a weekend, just a Tuesday in the middle of the day, in the middle of the summer. How did you repay Alex Arado when we were driving home from the Fat Burger at 18 years of age?
I repaid him in gold, Ace. Different type of gold.
He took a leak on him while he was driving.
I sprayed him.
Now, could you imagine that you're not supposed to talk on your cell phone? It's too distracting. Ray was urinating on the guy who
squirted him in the face. I hit him on the side of the head.
The guy who just
fine.
The guy who just bought him a double king cheese and fat burger was now being urinated on.
And he lost it.
While he was driving.
Did this affect his driving?
No.
Did this affect his psychology for the rest of his life?
A little bit. He started screaming and yelling. I can't believe I bought you a burger.
The funniest part about all these stories is about how surprised and indignant Ray would be when the guy was surprised and indignant that he was being urinated on while he was attempting to operate a motor vehicle.
After buying food?
I mean Ray was taking a whiz on the floor of the passenger side of his car. I mean, he was whizzing on the guy who was driving.
The worst was he pulls over and he says, get out. Get out of my car. No.
Gives a new meaning to shotgun.
The thing that was funny is like Alex pulled over. He's like, get the F out of my car. And Ray's like, what for?
We got to get back to school. I got football practice.
Did you really not understand his indignation?
He thought he overreacted.
I'm a sociopath, please.
I'm so aware of it.
Understand what?
He doesn't feel.
He should drive his car and buy me dinner.
There's no empathy for other people's feelings.
By the way, ladies, Ray is single.
I was shocking.
And that intro is going to do wonders for my dating.
I was in the back seat of the car laughing like a maniac. And the more angry Alex got at Ray, because Alex, who later on went to Berkeley and turned out to be an attorney, was a normal guy from a normal family that somehow got hooked up with the lowland gorilla known as Ray. We'd go to his house and go sick.
Don't eat the last one. It's for my dad. He's not here.
Yeah. So that's a good Ray story with Alex Rouse.
That is a fine Ray story.
The one we were talking about was us at the Mulholland Club. Now, Ray, can you explain the Mulholland Club for those who don't know what it is?
Mulholland Club is high-end tennis club up on the top of Mulholland and Laurel.
Mm-hmm. We're only up in
rich
the hills.
Yeah, where only rich kids go and their fathers. We used to go there for brunch once in a while.
Really?
Remember Todd used to take us.
He never took me. Yeah, we had a couple of Jewish friends up in the hills.
And
we would milk them for everything they were worth. We'd go to their houses and eat.
You planned that 2 weeks ahead of time.
All their Danish. We'd go to their houses and eat. And then they had cars, too. They had cars and food and money. All the things we needed. I know, right? Where are your Jewish friends now to cart you around?
You're my new Jew.
Nuvo Juvo, Ace Carolla over here. So we would just
go up. Olympic size pool.
We would just go up and eat and swim and do all the stuff we couldn't do in our crappy apartments. And the Mulholland Club, somebody figured out that they closed about 9 o'clock at night. And then nobody was there for the next 10 hours. And we could have ourselves our own Mulholland Club just without the dues. So you'd have to hike a cliff. You'd have to scale up the side of a cliff. It was up on the hills. But once you got up the cliff and hopped the fence, then you had an Olympic-sized swimming pool, jacuzzi.
All amenities.
Sometimes they even left food out.
They did. And you would eat it.
Yeah, they left trays of crap from parties, you know, mini tacos and hot dogs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We'd usually throw it at each other, but sometimes we ate it.
Sometimes you ate it and then threw it at each other.
Yes, we did. We evolved into that. We decided it'd be a great idea to get on top of the three-story roof that was 15 foot away from the swimming pool and see if we could make it from the roof.
Which was an event in itself, even getting up there.
Getting on the roof was more dangerous than jumping the three stories from the roof into the pool, which was the only way to get to the roof was to stack
tables.
There was a lower part on a different terrace that if you took these outdoor metal sort of tennis club tables and you stack the round ones on top of each other, you could then get to the top of the double stack tables. But that was dangerous enough because they weren't really four legs. They kind of had the legs that sort of spread out at the bottom with the round bottom on it. Yeah,
not
it was pretty
stable.
Uneven and they're round. So you'd have to, and by the way, this was all done in the nude in the cover of darkness when we were drunk, but we would pile the tables on top of each other.
And then put a chair on the top.
Then we'd scale the tables.
What are you guys, Cirque du Soleil of the drunk?
Way before it was ever popular.
Yeah, and put the chair on top of the two stacked tables, and then there was a piece of rigid conduit that stuck out from the super sharp stucco building.
It was
that 70s stucco that was finished off with all the pebbles in it.
Hated that.
It was cliffhanger.
There was a piece of rigid conduit that stuck out that had a light on it. And if you got to the top of the two tables and you got to the top of the chair on the two tables, you could jump just a little bit and grab the light. Now, once you jumped and grabbed the light, you could pull yourself up, throw yourself over the edge, get onto the roof, and then the next five guys could get up because you could lean down and they could climb up your arm.
So how many people are we talking about?
I think the first
22.
The first time we did it, we probably had about four guys up there. Yeah, we went up to the Mulholland Club all the time and just went skinny dipping and had fun. But eventually we decided, hey, it'd be a great idea to get up on that roof and jump up off that roof.
Occasionally even girls were in the mix.
Not on the roof, though.
No.
We were insane, though, Ray, because we made a ton of noise.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, it was guys screaming and throwing food and chicks giggling and beer cracking.
And remember that couple we caught, too? Remember that when we were peeping?
Gay?
Yes!
Ray caught a gay couple getting it on in the house next door and just started screaming.
You're naked.
The window.
They're gay.
You're naked.
You got a naked guy with four other naked guys screaming you're gay through your window at 2 a.m.
I thought I was witnessing something really great and he got off and then he got up and then I went, oh no.
I've had that happen. I thought two chicks were doing it and one was a guy. I mean, they're both guys.
So we would climb up to the roof of the Mulholland Club, which is the dumbest thing in the world, because if cops ever showed up or security ever showed up, now we're just on some roof nude. And there's no other way to get down from this roof other than to jump and see if you can make it to the pool. The problem was is you had to clear 18 foot of concrete before you made it to the pool. I felt pretty good. Pretty confident about it, but there was a little parapet. There was a little lip.
Right. You
could get a running start, but you had to time it so you stepped on this 1 foot riser, the little parapet around the thing. It wasn't just flat. So if you tripped on that one, you'd probably.
Would you do it now, though? Yeah.
I think I'd do it now, though. I'd probably have my assistant do it and then just tell him to say I did it. You'd be brain damaged for sure and maybe dead if you missed it. We got up there and we stood there. Well, I remember the first time we did it, Ray. We were up there with our friend Snake. And I was always a voice of reason.
Oh, yeah.
I said, now listen, people, we're naked and we're drunk. We're on this roof. I'm standing on gravel. It was one of those gravel roofs.
You're naked.
My feet hurt. I scrape myself getting up here on the stucco, and I don't want this to end up to be tragic. Somebody is going to hit the pavement if we don't work this out. So let's make sure that we have a focused effort here. And as I was giving the speech, my buddy Snake flew past me screaming and went right into the pool. And then Ray screamed and flew past me. And then everyone just went, screw it.
And Adam climbed down.
And jumped. No, I did not. Although we did have a friend, Rudy.
Oh, my God.
Rudy got up there, but Rudy didn't want to get down.
He wouldn't jump,
and there's no way to get down there.
And we had to coax him, too.
And he just stood there staring at it with his legs shaking for two hours.
Ray was very sensitive in how he encouraged Rudy to jump off.
Actually, you know what? We had to watch out for Rudy because he wasn't the quickest of sorts.
He would get drunk and black out and get himself into trouble. By the way, I liked the fact
that he's got this guy up on a roof naked and now says, but we had to keep an eye on him.
We had to look out for him. We shepherded him up onto the roof naked and told him to jump off the three-story building.
But once you're up, you got to jump.
You have no choice.
The beauty of Ray is, a full 15 years later, we were at a wedding at the Mulholland Club. Now everyone's an adult. People are starting families. Everyone's wearing a suit and tie. We're toasting our friend Michelle, who's getting married up there. It's a very nice affair on a Saturday night.
Had a great time there.
At a certain point in the evening, someone said, "Where's Ray?" And then another guy said, "Someone gave him $50, and he's naked on the roof." Now, the Mulholland Club is open at this point.
Wait. It was $100.
$100. There are servants and people and bartenders. There is a band and music playing.
Parents,
grandparents, people all toasting the nuptials of our friend Michelle. And there goes Ray sailing. Now, it's a full plate glass. We're inside of the building, but it's nothing but a glass wall looking out over the pool. There goes naked Ray's ass sailing past the glass and heading for the pool to collect on his $100. God bless you, Ray.
I just hope she gets, I hope she does her, what is it, her vows again there.
Yes, so that you can, she renews her vows so you can go naked off the roof again.
I need another $100.
We need to take ourselves a break. We have many, many other stories. Oh, and an outro.
Okay, kids.
This show's not for kids.
Until next time.
I like it anyway.
That's a Ray enactment.
Who's that, Italian?
You don't talk, Ray. Please.
No, but you know what? Ray is a contradiction because he's very good with your little babies, Adam.
Yeah. They're scared to death of it. At least
girl
the girl is smart.
Every time I see her, she cries.
All right. Next time, we'll talk about, I don't know. Buddy Chris getting the beer bottle broken over his head and me and Ray squaring off with a guy in a bar that Danny used to work at. And perhaps Ray will explain why my locker in North Hollywood High had fruit flies. That'll be for another day. We need to take ourselves a break. Another dear old friend, Adam De La Pena. Adam De La Pena.
Yeehaw!
Is the original Mijo. He's got himself another TV show coming out. We'll talk to him about that. And perhaps I will even grace Mijo? You all with a Mijo call. Now, there were formerly three Mijos.
Right.
Trace Mijos.
There were Trace Mijos. That was the last Mijo. Yeah. I'll explain when we come back. I added a fourth and now a fifth Mijo. I didn't think it could be done.
Wow.
Five Mijos with the original Mijo, Adam De La Pena, next.
And with Busey and the new show Code Monkeys tonight on G4 TV, Adam De La Pena on the Adam Carolla Show.
Me and Adam go way back to the Man Show. Good to see you, Adam.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Adam was my assistant writer.
Yeah.
What would we call you in season number two?
In season two, yeah, it was the assistant writer. Yeah.
The reason Adam got hired is because he sewed his own Hawaiian shirt and promised Jimmy and I he would sew us shirts too.
A promise I delivered on.
Yes, yeah. True. Yeah, I have
you
it.
You can sew?
Yeah, I can sew.
That's
I make
cool.
my own shirts, yeah.
Makes his own Hawaiian shirts. And
it's an old world talent, I think.
Right.
Sewing.
Yeah, lost art.
Lost. Yeah, we didn't really know how to interview people. You know, it'd be like me and Jimmy be sitting in an office and we'd be looking for a writer or writer's assistant and they would come in and we'd be like, "Where'd you get that shirt?" And he'd be like, "I showed it myself." We'd be like, "You're in."
You're in.
Yeah.
You're in.
Nice. Yeah.
We must have had an eye for talent because look, he's gone on to do great things.
Yeah, it turned out we got lucky.
I'm with Busey.
Yeah, but we had a couple busts too. Remember Ken, the guy whose mom sent him the cake from back east and he ate it out of that Tupperware container for 2 months?
That was not a good
the
move
guy
on
that
his
had
part.
Sex with his cousin and used to brag about it around the office.
Openly talked about it.
He was only hired because he said he had a cannon for an arm and I wanted him on our softball team.
Right.
And then it turned out he sucked on the diamond.
That's ridiculous.
So imagine that. Yeah, you hire a guy because he says he has a cannon for an arm and he's a great shortstop and you go, awesome. Then you go a full season of this guy talking about banging his cousin and eating cake with his hand. Out of a Tupperware container and not writing one joke. And then the only thing you can salvage from the guy's 3 months wasted is the end of the year softball game where I pick him first and it turns out he has a horrible arm.
Right.
I felt raped.
That's why you got to deliver. Like I said, I know how to sew shirts, Hawaiian shirts. Done. Done deal. End of the season. What do you guys get? Two beautiful Hawaiian shirts.
Do you still have your shirt, Adam?
Hell yes, I have my Hawaiian shirt. I should have. Adam, or as I called him, Miho.
Yeah.
We were thick as thieves.
Miho! No,
what is the genesis of this Miho thing?
Well...
What happened was is the writers on the man show needed to figure out ways to kill time and entertain themselves during the day when they should have been writing for the man show.
Right. Spending other people's money.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would also look for ways to kill time and entertain myself while Jimmy was writing the man show. So I used to like to go upstairs and burst into the writer's room. And for some reason, I burst in with my call of Miho. And we had the three Mihos.
Right, that was the original.
The original. Right. The original three Mihos was, I come home. Here's the scenario. I don't know if we have some music.
Ooh, this will be good. I haven't heard this in a while.
Now, this is going to be the original three Mihos with the two director's cut supplementary box set Mihos tacked on to the end.
All right.
Some have heard the controversial fourth Miho. None. Right. I've heard the fifth.
There's Miho. Fifth now.
Oh, my God.
There's now five Mihos.
Oh, wow.
All right, so here's the scene. I come home. Miho's donkey's parked in the driveway, so I know he's home. It's dusk. It's just starting. The streetlights have just come on. I've been out at the market buying, I bought a 55-gallon drum of horchata, and I'm rolling it up the driveway. Right. It's Miho's favorite.
Because I've asked for it. It's my birthday, maybe.
It goes through two a day.
You're Miho.
Yes.
Yes. Adam is Miho. And I come home through the front door, and I'm in a good mood. Because I'm gonna cook him some flap steak, and we're going to drown ourselves in horchata and vodka.
Mm-hmm. Bad mix.
Mm-hmm. The whitest of all Russians.
Right.
So I fling the door open, and I'm in a good mood, and I cry out, Miho! That's the I'm home, Miho.
Sure.
But no response. Oh. And the house is dark. Why hasn't he turned the lights on? Usually I hear the TV running from down the hall. Doesn't seem to be here, but I know he's home. Why aren't the lights on? So now, as I cautiously walk up the staircase toward his bedroom, somewhere in the middle of the staircase, I pause and I let out my second Miho. But not the jubilant one, the one with some angst and some curiosity mixed in. That's this Miho. Miho? Now, every once in a while, Kimmel would burst into the writer's room somewhere between the second and third Miho and be like, what's going on in here? And it'd be like, not the Miho.
That's one thing that's not going on. We're typing jokes.
Yes. Yeah. I'd be. I'm just typing them. This Manovations and Museum of the Knowing Guy makes me want to puke. Now get to work. And I turn around and leave and then finish it off later. Now the third Miho.
Right, sure.
Third Miho is I've gone down the hall. Hall's dark. Gone to the bedroom. That's Miho's bedroom. Slowly open the door.
No.
Slowly open the door. And there we see. Now, you got to remember, the camera, POV on my face as I open the door.
Right.
In the foreground is just the sort of blurred out legs swinging. That's right. He's hung himself. Here's a new twist.
Oh, my God.
Pants down around the ankles.
Oh,
auto-erotic asphyxiation.
That was not in the original.
That was not in the original.
That's
a punch it up.
No.
And you see through the blurry. And then what we do is one of the snap zooms to me.
Yeah.
Snap zoom from the blurry foreground into the background, which is me snap zoom tied on my face. And then I let out the third in what was the final of the Miho trilogy. Miho! And that's where you stand.
Right. Where else are you going to go?
No, there's nowhere.
You didn't think there's anywhere you could go, but we had, you know, another month left and more time to kill in the writer's room.
Yeah.
So I was hard at work thinking of a fourth Miho at my desk.
Right.
Instead of writing jokes for the man show. And I
sure
came
Jimmy
up,
was happy with.
He don't know what I'm thinking, man. He ain't my head. I came up and laid the fourth Miho on the Riders, which is me now. Now cut to casket.
Oh.
Open casket, but pants still around ankles.
Not in the original.
Not in the original right. one either. And now I'm at the casket, and I'm bent innocence. Over, and I go down to one knee.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
They do that moment, and I do the cross thing with my finger thing on my chest. And I take a small 12-ounce can of horchata and I toss it in.
Oh, yeah.
I toss it into the coffin.
Miho loved it.
He loved horchata.
That was my drink.
He loved horchata. And I said, Miho.
Oh.
You see.
Poignant.
That was the last. That's what you thought was the last.
There's nowhere to go from there.
I thought the one who was hanging was the last.
Miho's in a casket.
Yeah.
You
and by the way, a can of horchata is kind of sacrilegious.
You're right. Good point. Wait.
It's true.
We were now for the fifth and final Miho. Wow. I'll not be adding any more Mihos.
Oh, this is the last one
forever.
This is it. Closing the door on it?
This is it. I'm Johnny Carson, Bette Midler singing, and I'm going to go chain smoke on a yacht and tell Ed McMahon I'm not home for another 4 years until I pass on. This is my last Miho. It's 4 years later.
Wow.
I've forgotten about it, or at least as much as I can. That's the way he would have wanted it.
Yeah.
I've collected my life. I've moved forward.
The scars are healed.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never be the same. There'll always be a hole in my heart that Miho filled.
Yeah, Miho-sized hole.
There'll be a Miho-sized hole in my heart, but I've moved forward. And I'm standing in line. Lunch truck has just pulled up. I'm going to order myself a breakfast burrito. And one of the guys in front of me says, I'll have a large horchata. And I whisper under my breath, Miho.
Wow.
That's the fifth and final Miho. Thank
impressive.
You.
Wow.
Now, is this a fade to black?
Hold on. Pull it together, Corolla. It's going to be embarrassing.
The crane shot pulls up, right? All the way to the sky.
I had the jib when he was screaming Miho because you were dead.
Screen. Okay. I was hoping the end that I faked my own death and you saw me on the street and you were confused by what you saw and then you tracked me down.
And he would then say,
there could one day be another Miho.
Yeah.
But I think the door's
possible
open.
Possible six. Door open for six people, Miho.
Thank you.
Forget about what I said
before. It's like the five levels of despair or whatever that is.
Yes, yes. By the way, Adam De La Pena, writer for The Man Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
He's Miho, if we haven't said it in a while.
Yes.
That's right.
And also,
I think he has something to promote other than his Miho-ness.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I was so riveted by the story. Code
Miho!
Monkeys.
Yeah, what is Code Monkeys?
Code Monkeys is an animated series. It's on G4. It's animated like Nintendo video games. It takes place like in 1980, and these guys are game programmers, basically. And they've invented all the games that have come out in the 80s. And their company gets taken over by a crazy Texas businessman who doesn't know anything about video games. And their lives go to crap.
Now, is it just because we're a man-type station that I'm hearing all about G4 all of a sudden? Or is G4 making some inroads into being a real-life channel that people know about?
No, G4 is really, like, pushing. I mean, this is the first program. Code Monkeys is, like, a new program that they did. So, you know, they have a lot of cops, and, you know, they have the Man Show on. But they're really making strides and doing original programming. Yeah. So.
They're doing what it seems like a lot of stations have done. They start up. They rerun stuff. They're not tooled up enough to create their own product. But then they have a few successful years, and next thing you know, they've thrown a couple of pesos Miho's way.
That's right.
And he's got himself a little Code Monkeys.
That's right.
Tonight, by the way, Wednesday night, 9 p.m., G4. And I think I have G4. If I have it, you guys all have it, too. It's everywhere. And then hang out for another 4 hours and you see The Man Show. Miho rode on.
It's all the same. It's all coming back together.
De La Pena, it is, I got to say, from the guy, it seems like only yesterday I was lying on the floor of his cubicle, staring at the ceiling, trying to come up with the belly Zamboni in the manovations department while he was happily typing away.
Trying to remember my name. It was awkward for a while.
Oh, no. You couldn't remember Adam Adam's name?
How am I supposed to remember the name, Adam?
Yeah, it's too hard.
You know, my lawyer, who I met here at the station right next to Corolla, his name is Adam Sachs, and I called him Alan for 2 days, and he was like livid, this guy. It's your partner's name. It's your lawyer's name. And I went, dude, if you yell like this at my wife, you will rock. You're the best lawyer in the world.
Well, I remembered his name.
We needed a nickname. That's why Miho came
in. That's where Miho came in. Code Monkeys, Wednesday night, tonight, 9 p.m. G4T.
Yes.
Tease the news, baby doll.
Well, we're going to recap what's going on with Lindsay Lohan, and apparently there are sex offenders on MySpace.
Good times. Next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another summer safety tip with the deaf frat guy.
If you're going to the beach, make sure to bring sunblock. That way, if your bro passes out, you can write douche on his chest in sunblock. And if he gets a sunburn, it will totally say douche on his chest.
Thanks, Mav. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, T's got the news ready to go, T.
Yes.
What's in it?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Lindsay Lohan is facing a lot of potential jail time after her second DUI arrest yesterday. And according to TMZ, people close to Lindsay say that she hates being alone, that she will have a worse time than Paris Hilton if she has to go to jail.
And they're going to have to do more to her than Paris Hilton because she's done more than Paris Hilton. Everyone's going to make the comparisons.
Yep.
And no judge is going to want to deal with that kind of scrutiny.
I was talking about that with the DA last night.
Right. Paris Hilton was driving on a suspended license. Lindsay Lohan now has 2 DUIs charged.
While with cocaine possession, while giving chase, while having a court date pending.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm glad you mentioned the chase. Now, there's some question about whether or not she was chasing her, not her first assistant, her second assistant. Mm-hmm. I guess she has, more than one. So now there's some question about whether both of them were being chased by a paparazzo or paparazzi. So more about that to come.
I hate these celebs. You know, I was telling my assistant when we were chasing the guy who breaks in my shoes. I was like, these prima donnas. You know what I mean? I think their poop doesn't stink.
Right.
We weren't able to catch the guy who breaks in my Italian loafers, but we did find the guy who walks with his arms flapping that keeps my wristband. A wristwatch. It keeps it a self-winder, but I don't wear it every day.
And you don't move a lot.
And he knew where the guy who broke in my shoes were, but we were just discussing this. One of my three assistants, yes.
Well, Lindsay Lohan's dad, Michael, wasted no time.
He's a delight.
He's a delight. He's also on parole. So he had a talk with Access Hollywood, and he thinks he understands the genesis of Lindsay Lohan's troubles.
Let's be serious. I mean, the writing is on the wall. When we were a family, did you see any of this? Did you see any of this going on? It wasn't until we were torn apart, at the pinnacle of Lindsay's career, no less, when people came into the picture, did everything fall apart.
It's true. When she was 9, she never got pulled over for DUIs or cocaine possession.
Yeah, things were fine.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I don't get it.
Yeah, you could say that, you know, like before Hitler was born, he was a great fetus.
Right.
He was awesome. He barely kicked.
He's
He didn't want any race, creed, or color completely annihilated until he was like 6.
No, he was a model zygote.
Well, they're not zygotes, but there are a lot of young people on MySpace, and that is a scary prospect when you consider that MySpace.com has found more than 29,000 registered sex offenders with profiles. These are just the sex offenders on MySpace who are registered. Mm-hmm. Consider all of the other, you know, perverts and such that are on there. There are 180 million profiles on the site. 29,000 sex offenders. So now there's some movement to have these. Well, obviously, MySpace would like to identify and remove registered sex offenders, but there are some in law enforcement that want them to go even farther in making sure that there are not registered sex offenders with profiles.
Here's the deal. The computer, we call it the computer, but to the pedophile, it's just a magic box that you get to meet people. And the whole thing about being a pedophile is if they see your 45-year-old guy with a beer gut wearing a Making Bacon shirt, you're not going to get any. They need to think you're another 14-year-old who wants to go party.
Right.
So this magic box is a perfect tool for that.
There are a couple of new magic boxes that kind of suck.
Yeah.
Texting is neat. I really like texting and getting texts. I don't like to speak on the phone. The people keep things brief texting. Mm-hmm. But I would say when Gretchen and I first separated, she told me she would get at least 10 texts a day as to my whereabouts. And now Amy gets them.
Ah.
Now, who are these people?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Just spotters?
Just literally somebody knows everybody. And this happened right. This happened all the way through Bonaducci 2, Breaking Bonaducci 2 as well. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to go at home at night and, you know, things were weird. But I was trying to hide from the studio that things were weird and that mm-hmm. the couple was going to be okay. And people were texting. I know specifically, the one that made me the maddest was Danny's at the bar at the Pig and Whistle on Hollywood Boulevard drinking. Which mm-hmm. was true. But it was cranberry juice.
Right. Right.
And I just started screaming, they better come up and pay my goddamn bill before you start texting people I work with or live with that I'm drinking at the bar.
So, yeah.
These magic boxes are not that great.
It is an interesting thing now. It's getting harder and harder to cheat on your wife.
No kidding.
I know. I mean, everyone has a... you know, cell phone with a picture with a camera in it, and everyone's texting everything, and everyone sees everyone and goes right back to everyone. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. Slippery slope. Go ahead.
There's a. What? You have a text?
Text. I'm watching you at all times. What a bitch. Shut up,
you
Amy.
You woke me up for.
I like the cut of your jib, Amy. Okay. A 49-year-old anger management counselor in Gary, Indiana got angry.
Mm.
Now, this is embarrassing when what you do is teach people how to deal with their anger when they've been charged with battery or domestic violence, such as the case with this guy.
I always used to laugh when Dr. Drew got sick. Just laughed, and he'd go, why are you laughing? I'm miserable over here. And I'd say, you know, when you hear that the police chief or that his house got robbed or the fire chief's house caught on fire,
right.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Well, this is hilarious. This guy, Reverend Robert Nichols of Gary, Indiana, was arrested for attacking his wife. Her name happens to be Teresa.
Mm.
He, around 12:30 a.m. last Thursday, police got a call from Robert and Teresa's young daughter saying that her parents were fighting. When they got there, Teresa told them Robert had grabbed her and beat her during a fight. He was arrested and charged with domestic battery and fired from his anger management counselor gig while charges are pending.
Mm.
I guess you can't have criminal charges and be a counselor in the court system.
No, apparently there's rules against that. Yeah.
I have two cliches for that. One, do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
Number two, those who can do, and those who can't teach. So, you know, he just taught about anger management. He didn't manage his anger.
Right.
His words are still ring just as true as they did before. Right.
Physician, heal thyself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
and then there's a bitch, take this.
Right.
That's the last thing he yelled.
I thought it was, why don't you listen?
Oh, yeah, that's what I yell.
Well, lastly, this just in, a fifth Mijo.
Wow.
It's been added.
I heard that. Breaking news.
Yeah. We got to get the jib over to the taco truck so we can pick up that shot.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
Mijo. Well, good news. It's my rosebud. Good news, everyone. Our official black man of the Adam Carolla Show, Tony, hit the streets to talk to people about Harry Potter. He talked to the folks in line to go see Harry Potter, and then he went back to the hood and talked to some of his peeps. I said to Mike a few moments ago, how's it coming out? Should we play? And he said, best one ever.
I can't wait.
Yep.
Nice.
So expect the best ever next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with our ambassador to African America, Tony G.
I live next door to a crack house. I had child services at my house because they said I was abusing my daughter. I like to talk, I like people, and I really don't have anything better to do.
This time we sent Tony out to the midnight release of the last Harry Potter book.
What's a muggle?
A muggle is a non-magical person.
What's a muggle?
It's a non-magic person, I guess.
I don't even know what a muggle is, but what's a muggle?
It's non-magical folk.
Oh, so you're a nerd.
No.
Yes, you are. If you know what a muggle is, you're a nerd.
Our ambassador to African America.
Black guy.
Tony G.
I'm a real black dude.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Test, 1, 2. Yeah, Tony was in yesterday, and then we ended up bumping him, and I guess he bumped us today. But that's all right. We have a recording of Tony.
Yeah.
Good enough for me.
By law, we can play it. So, yes, this is him, not at the premiere or not at the movie, but at the release of the book. I guess they released it at Borders at midnight. Yeah. There was a line there, so he came to Mike, and he went and talked to some folks about it. And then later on, I think he spoke to his uncle, though always unclear in the black community if it's really an uncle.
Right, I mean, cousin is a catch-all. Too.
I've been to Snoop Dogg's house. He had 350 guys standing around his house that were his cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't want to ask Mr. Dogg if they're actually related by blood or not. I just decided to eat.
Well, they're probably related by blood, just not their own.
Yes.
I'll beat you up.
What was he serving?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
All right.
And watermelon.
Oh, no.
And Jimmy got stoned and ate 45 pieces of chicken.
Right on.
And the basket of muffins he brought over as a housewarming gift. Now, I don't know etiquette, but if you bring over something as a housewarming gift,
you should eat it.
You should not consume it.
No.
Right.
Whether it's a throw pillow or a basket of muffins, you should probably let them at least have one of the muffins. All right.
I'll beat you up.
Let's carry on here and speak to the, well, this is Tony talking to a woman in line about her favorite book.
Which one of the books was the one you liked the best?
I like Order of the Phoenix the best because it got a lot darker than the previous books were they were very much geared towards kids, but the fifth book is where it got really dark and really, it started to get more into the story of Harry having to defeat Voldemort and everything like that.
And how old are you?
28.
Okay, so you're a nerd too. You must not have a boyfriend.
I do.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it Harry Potter?
No.
No, but it takes C-cell batteries.
Uh-oh. I was surprised she was 28.
Yeah, sad. All right, Tony.
That sounds surprisingly like my tattoo needle.
Tony.
Huh.
Tony, either way, Danny's getting wood.
Getting.
Tony, maintaining wood. Tony,
it's the latest Harry Potter.
Goes on to talk to another woman about the ending of the book.
Well, how do you think this book is going to end?
I think Harry's going to live, and he's going to kill Voldemort, and it's going to be okay.
Who is this Voldemort dude? I got to see this dude, because he sounds like he's a bad cat. I want to get him tattooed on my arm.
Is there one black guy that has read the entire Harry Potter?
I'm sure there are. No. It's the fastest selling book in history. Statistically speaking, there have to be people from other ethnicities.
Okay, no. American. I don't want one of those Lennox Lewis brothers. Oh, right. I thought he was black, and then I heard him.
Spoke.
Then I saw his pinky sticking out when he was drinking his tea, and
all
I realized he wasn't one of us.
All kids love Harry Potter. Of kids from all backgrounds.
And where are the white women at?
Let's keep it going. Tony talks to, a little girl about magic power.
If you could do any magic, what would it be?
I would turn invisible.
Invisible? Why would you turn invisible?
Because it could help out in difficult situations.
Yeah, I turn invisible, too, so I could sneak into women's restrooms. Okay.
It's nice to say to a 9-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably illegal.
Yeah, I don't even think you can say that to a kid.
Harry Potter and the inappropriate remark.
Let's move up to a slightly older woman here.
So you can name every book and every movie?
Yeah.
Name them. Let me hear them.
Sorcerer's Stone, The Chamber of Secrets, Prisoner of Azkaban, Goblet of Fire, Order of the Phoenix, and then Half-Blood Prince.
Jeez. Okay, so it sounds like you don't have a boyfriend.
No, not right now.
That's cool. I'll hook you up. I know a couple of cats in the hood who like white girls. You know what I'm saying? We can make it do what it do.
Yeah.
She's six.
Well, the thing about the no right now when people say that, it's not like they broke up with their guy 10 days earlier.
Right.
I'm guessing she never had one. It's a weird life. I'm mixed on this because on one hand, I never read and I want my kids to read.
Yeah.
On the other hand, those Harry Potter books are dictionary thick.
Yeah, they
right?
are.
So now you want your kid to read, but what if the kid spent the entire summer just sitting in the room on a beanbag chair with an iPod stuffed in his ears reading the 2,000-page Harry Potter book, which is complete fantasy? I'm not reading a textbook on the
right.
Civil War.
Hey, my kids are the right age to throw a super monkey wrench in your theory or your suspected problem. I cannot get my 12-year-old out of her room no matter what. So mm-hmm. I would prefer she spent the entire summer and she's got a goth room. The walls are painted black. Mm. The ceiling is painted, I think, blood red and blood red blackout curtains.
Danny, I don't want to correct you, but that's nicotine stain. That's not paint. You just smoked in there for too long.
She doesn't smoke tobacco.
Crack a window.
So, but now what is the deal? What's
MySpace computers? You cannot get her off the computer. So I would love her to see the printed word on paper.
Oh, so you want her to read, even if it's in her room.
If my options are, she ain't coming out of that room anyway, because to get children out of the room these days is punishment. Mm-hmm. That's it. God damn it. You get outside and play right now in the sunshine.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it's for real like.
Yeah.
I know. You can't. Look, my room growing up, I kid you not, everybody, had a water heater in it. I'm sure it's illegal to have a water heater inside your room because it could blow up or gas leaks or carbon monoxide. But the water heater was in the room. The washing machine was in the room. The dryer was not in the room because we didn't own one of those. And the meter for the meter reader was in the room that I slept in. It used to be a service porch. And much like the old episodes of the Green Acres when Eddie Albert would have to climb the pole, the meter reader would knock on the back service door of my crappy house. And then a guy would walk into my room, open a closet door and read the meter every single month. It seemed normal at the time. It was punishment to go to my room because there was no TV set, no stereo, no computer, obviously.
Go to your room is to mean something.
Go to your room, man. Go stare at the goddamn meter for 2 hours spinning around.
Now go to your room means go to alternative universes with Brian.
Yes.
Yes.
Now let's get out of your room.
Go to a luxury suite, hop on your MySpace page, and see if you can interface with some pedophiles.
Right.
That's what it means now. Right.
That's the talk you have to give, too.
That's right.
I tell her this, everyone, because she was, like, super into anime. She still is. We're going to the convention again because it's bitching. Even I want to go. But I told her this, and I've told her it 100 times, so it's burned into her memory, and I can ask her, who is the 12-year-old Judy into anime? And she'll say, a 55-year-old man in Waukegan wearing underwear typing me saying his name is Judy.
Right.
That's who she thinks everybody is a 55-year-old fat man in their underwear.
Right.
Good.
Everyone.
Good. Yeah. Good training.
I take it you're a virgin.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We had a couple more, but we're just plumb out of time. Yeah, no one's fault. I'd rather tell stories about my horrible childhood than listen to Black Guy Tony anyway. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Well, good times. Ah, yes, Danny.
Just want to remind everybody that me and it says insert winner's name here, but I remember this guy. It's Josh Schwarzenberger, right?
Something close to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Josh Schwarzenberger. We're going down to Comic-Con in San Diego. We're going to see all the new NBC shows. It's going to rock. We'll get to see Chuck, the computer nerd who ends up with too many government secrets.
Sure.
Biotic woman. Just remember you can see all the new shows anytime or preview them on NBC.com.
Good times. And I want to thank Marianne Norbaum from OK Magazine. She gave us the big scoop on the Britney Spears debacle. It is out tomorrow on newsstands. That's OK Magazine. Adam Mijo de la Peña. Code Monkey's name of the new show tonight, 9 p.m. on G4. And that's about it. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. We're naked and we're drunk.